The views expressed on BFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
But I got to give our team a lot of credit. You know, they played four games in whatever it is, 17, 18 days, whatever it is. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of a break here, a couple days to kind of catch our breath. And we're right back at it.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Eric Scalavino. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Right out the shotgun step, has time. Tom pulls up, fires deep down the right side. There's a wide open receiver, Shane Vereen, diving, has the catch, has a touchdown!
Bang, bang! What a way to start football on a Thursday night at Gillette Stadium!
Well, we start off the year, 0-1, so 5-1 since is not bad, considering, you know, where we're at. So hopefully we can be a lot better. We got to make the plays, got to make the improvements, got to execute it when it matters, and but it feels good to be where we're at.
Brady has time, throws to the end zone, grabbed by Vereen between two defenders for a second touchdown of the night for Shane Vereen and the Patriots.
Yeah, he played great. He really a workhorse in all areas.
He waits on the snap from Lindell. He has it, rolling right. He's chased. He pumps. Tom Brady locks it out of bounds. Got away from the rush. There was a late hit, and now Jordan Demme comes over.
He levels
the defender for the Jets, who applied the late stick on Brady. And
he
now flags
Brady
to the turf.
Should have had a flag on Brady getting thrown to the ground. Debbie's going to get called for retaliation.
Third and goal to go from the 19. Tom in the pocket. He's going to run it to his left. He throws on the move. Amendola makes a spectacular grab.
What?
A twisting, diving catch and a touchdown for the Patriots.
Nobody works harder than Danny. He's working every day. Offense, scout team, special teams. He always works hard. This is a really competitive kid. Tough. No question about it.
It's a 58-yard attempt for Fultz. Tanner Purdom will snap. Ryan Quigley will hold. His right knee is down with 5 seconds to go. Folk for the win. The snap of the spot. He swings the right leg. The kick is blocked! And the Patriots celebrate as time expires! New England wins it over New York!
You know, obviously really happy for Chris at the end. You know, after what happened last year, I thought it was so fitting that he made that play. So that was awesome.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Good open there, Kevin. Relive the game. It seems like so long ago. We haven't had a PFW in Progress show since it seems like Wednesday. But we're back.
It wasn't funny when you set it upstairs.
We're back.
It didn't prevent him from saying it downstairs.
We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, this is the first show we've had since the big win against the Jets, AFC East rivals, and it was a good game.
Blocktoberfest.
For a Thursday night game.
Very good game.
Well fought. I thought it was a pretty clean game. Both teams, you know, gave each other trouble in certain areas.
No turnovers.
Still penalties.
Aside from clean.
A lot of penalties.
Yep.
You know, we still have wide receiver false starts. I mean, I feel like you can go years between wide receiver false starts on some teams. How many do we have this year? It feels like we have one every week.
Something's going on there they need to correct.
Must be Brady.
But the Patriots pulled it
out.
Can't
be that.
I'll take it. I'm not surprised it was, you know, a close game like that and that the Jets gave the Patriots trouble. Not surprised at all.
This is now 5 out of 6. Remember we talked about it last week. First meeting with Rex Ryan's Jets. Patriots have lost 2. They've won 3 others. 3 points, 3 points, 2 points.
Yeah.
These early season ones are the first meeting of the year have been close. It is what it is.
And it was a little bit of payback for last year when the game was stolen from the Patriots with that call on the Nick Folk field goal. This time, Chris Jones, the person who was called last year, makes the block this year and wins the game for the Patriots. So turnabout is fair play, as they say.
But right? We cheated to do it.
Right. Right.
I mean, Hightower lined up over the center.
Oh, I know.
Made the official on our side.
And I think Bill was on yesterday, an EEI.
Tim Kirchham. Oh! Yeah. Tim Kirchham was just biting a fingernail and then spit it out on live TV. That's so gross.
You know, Bill said something that I'd been thinking, and I think a lot of men, but no one said. he wasn't going to stay there. Even if the ref hadn't moved him out of there, he was just moving in to get the call, and then he was going to back out anyway. So,
right. He wasn't going to.
He wasn't lining
He just had the gun in the convenience store. He wasn't going to rob it.
Yeah, we'll never know what he was going to do, but it's a complete and utter non-story. I've seen it happen 8,000 times in NFL games where the umpire comes over and lets the guy know that he's not lined up properly.
I actually didn't even think it was the rule. I thought it was only the rule for people on the line, because they do it for the people on the line, too, you know. Right. The people that actually matter, they bump
offense.
Them over. They bump them over.
And they do it on offense, too, with receivers all the time.
Yeah, but
the
I don't even care
check,
about that.
You know, my good, and the guy will say, no, you got to move
That's
back.
Been going on for 100 years.
Again,
they will
same
tap
thing.
The nose tackle on a punt.
Right.
They will tap him off the guy.
Yes.
It's a safety thing.
That's an actual guy who, to me, Hightower's off the line. I don't even know why he can't line up there. To and me, that guy can line up wherever he wants.
And as Dean Blandino put it, it's standard operating procedure. That's how it's done. It's not.
Now
it's
we're
not,
listening to that guy.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's not even as if the referee
Roger Goodell actually never saw the tape. He doesn't know.
Well, he burned it. He went out of his way to say that it was. It wasn't like it was just the referee going on his own, just saying, you know, I'm trying to help him out. That is what they do. That's standard procedure. And again, we've all said it. I've seen it happen a million times, yeah. And it was a very. You know, it didn't last.
And by the way, no one of any substance
long.
Cared.
No, it was like
it was like
a couple
Bart
of,
Hubbick and those people.
A couple of New York media people.
Yeah,
the Jets didn't really complain about it. It was the New York Bart Hubbick and a couple of the Jets cronies.
Well, the Jets lost their Super Bowl. They were a desperate team with a desperate coach, and they played well. You know, on defense anyway, they played well. They
and
got,
offense.
They got
the
stuck
human
up.
Turnover. Geno Smith
they
did
played better on offense.
They got
defense.
Stuck up in the red zone, and you know. Patriots holding them to field goals was the difference in the game.
And them shooting themselves in the foot with a couple penalties that sort of forced the field goals. But you're right. They, aside from the penalties, they played clean. They didn't turn it over. And that's what they had to do. They ran the ball right down your bleeping throat. I said to Paul, Chris Ivory, forever in my mind, is like Earl Campbell. Like, he is the eyeball test for him.
No,
he was phenomenal.
He's a very violent runner, as they say. You know,
more yards after contact than anyone in the NFL. I'm sure the stats bear that out, according to Gruden.
John Gruden would say. He calls him the cyborg.
Well, I think other than turning his back.
Because he seeks and he destroys.
I think Ridley was becoming that type of violent runner. You know, he really was. He was running.
Sighing.
He was running very hard up until.
He's always run hard.
I give Fred credit. It was a week before he turned an injured reserve-laden Ridley into Earl Campbell.
That's true. So, Patriots now.
Not that he was averaging less than 3 yards a carry.
Patriots now at 5-2, sitting atop the AFC East, and the Bills are looking. You know, we have a chance this week to sit and watch the games over the weekend. The Bills losing Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, things aren't looking too good for them. Miami with a big win though, surprising win in Chicago. Chicago coming
surprising.
Here. Is
they
that
stink.
Good for the Patriots that the Chicago Bears are really pissed off and you know it's unacceptable. To be losing that game.
Why are you mocking him?
Because he's a bad person. He's a fundamentally bad person.
Is that a good thing for the Patriots that they're coming off that loss or a bad thing for the Patriots?
Win, lose, no matter.
Yeah. I think if Jay Cutler plays like Geno Smith did the other night, you might be in a dogfight. If Jay Cutler plays like Jay Cutler does, then you'll win.
I just don't think Chicago's capable of putting, you know, 30-plus, 40 points on the board on the road against the Patriots, and that's what it'll take because that defense is not going to stop the Patriots. It's just not.
I'm the opposite of that. I think if they don't turn it over, you're going to be in a dogfight.
Really?
I think the two receivers, the running back and the quarterback, can absolutely put up points on you.
All very good.
I'm not sold on this defense just yet that is giving, you know, 218 on the ground and they're number one against the pass.
I'm not sold on that either. But I've seen what's happened to that. I saw Ryan Tannehill complete his first 14 passes against that defense. And I have a pretty good idea what Tom Brady's going to do to that defense.
Bob Lee puts out a warning shot to us. He says, after 7 weeks, the Patriots have the number one pass defense in the NFL and are number one in the AFC in turnover margin and have scored an average of 35 points in the last three games. Let's not get too negative, please.
Well, they've given up an average of 218 yards rushing in the last one game, if we're just going to just cut things down to whatever suits our argument. That's idiotic. You've only played 7 games, and we're choosing to eliminate 4 of them.
Can you please stop being so negative?
Ridiculous.
Right.
So I can't say they're 24th in run defense. We're just focusing on the
pass
defense.
Well, it's interesting. You know, everyone's focusing on the pass defense because that has been their Achilles heel on defense for so many years now. And now they're doing better in pass defense than the run defense.
How did they do in pass defense last week?
Not bad.
Not very good.
Yeah. They're still number one in the league overall.
Okay. And again, and this is what I said to you last year when you got all fat and happy about this early in the year. When you don't play anybody that's capable of hurting you, you're going to have good numbers.
But
when you play a steady stream of Geno Smiths and the like, you're going to look good.
But I've also seen them play a steady stream of these guys and look bad.
Like they did last week.
So this is, you know, they're doing better than they have in past years.
Okay. I don't want to get Bob mad at us and being all negative, but they're not doing any better than they have. Last year when they played E.J. Manuel and Josh Freeman, this is what they did to them. And that's what they're playing right now. Derek Carr and Geno Smith and Kyle Orton and those guys.
The stats would bear me out.
And the stats did the same thing last year in the first 3 or 4 weeks. They were shutting everybody down.
They were never number one in the league in pass defense.
I'll bet they were after 3 weeks last year.
Not even close.
Okay.
Not even close.
Please, somebody email in.
I bet they were close. I don't know if they were one.
I bet they were one.
I don't know.
But I get they were close.
I don't think they may not have been one, but I'll bet you after the first three games they were pretty close
not
to one.
Not even close.
Not even close.
You're unbelievable.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500. You know, with the declining quarterback that they have, they're 5-2. Atop the AFC East.
So now, who's being negative now? Don't blame me and Andy for this.
I'm being sarcastic.
I know. So you're being negative. Don't blame Andy and I when Bob gets mad at you later.
Can we be positive?
Sure.
I mean, and I said this, some people will have heard this, the postgame show, but I still continue to say the three guys that they have are great. I'm all in on Brady, Revis, and Gronkowski, and Danny Amendola had a great game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy who's done nothing, he had a great game, made a great catch, which ended up being the game-winning catch on a throw from Tom Brady on a scramble play, which, don't get me wrong, we talked about this post-game.
Not a
great throw. But that's not his strength, running left on a scramble drill and putting the ball. It's not where he makes his money. That's not his. But Amendola made a great play, looked good on kick returns, drew a very questionable, but he drew the call on a deep pass interference play to set up a score. I mean, you're adding guys now. Whether it's Wright, whether it's LaFell, whether it's Amendola, you're adding the complementary pieces to my little thing of Brady and Gronk are really going to take you somewhere. Well, you're adding the guys around them to chip in.
Yeah, you are.
And you're getting consistent production now from some of these other guys. And it may not be the same guys all the time, like Andy just mentioned.
But if you have three of them,
right,
chances are you can get one of them to do something.
Someone's going to do it for you. And that's what we talked about before the season. I don't care who it is, but we need one of those three guys on a given game. And you know, we just posted, we're coming up on the trade deadline. So we just put Ask PFW, our mailbag, up. A lot of questions this week about trade deadline stuff. And a lot of them were, do they need to go out and get a wide receiver? And I said, honestly, no.
I don't think it's
a need.
Yeah.
I understand there's bigger needs anyway. A lot of people were asking about running backs and linebackers and even defensive linemen and offensive linemen. And a lot of people were asking about those, too. But almost every one of them included wide receiver. And I don't think that wide receiver is a need right now.
I think it's down on the list now.
Vincent Jackson is supposedly available. Austin Pettis got cut yesterday. There are some good players.
I'm interested in.
Well, Vincent Jackson, to me, would be the kind of receiver they need.
Right.
The kind of receiver. Now, Austin Pettis, no. He's a slot guy.
No, I don't
have
care
too many
about
of
him.
Those guys.
But Vincent Jackson, to me, is, regardless of need, I'm interested because he's really good.
Yeah, I'm not.
Why did he get let go?
I'm not interested in him.
He's not let go.
But he supposedly could be available.
Okay.
Because he's owed a lot of money and they're looking to get out. But he's a very talented guy. Andy's right. I don't really have any interest in throwing him into the mix now in the middle of the season. And I don't really think it's a huge need.
But if he's available, do you inquire?
If I can rape them, like I feel like I have at times in the past with certain things. If they're just dumping him, sure. I'm interested.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's not a complimentary
hope
for him to contribute one every four games.
No.
He's now a core part of my offense.
He's a guy who can beat someone right down the field.
Yeah, he has the skill set. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't want him because I don't know how long it's going to take him to get acclimated. I don't like the way he goes about the games that I have seen him play. He doesn't look like he's all that engaged. He's owed a ton of money. He's one slip up away from being out for a whole year. Still, even though that was the case when Tampa Bay originally acquired him, and he's still been okay since then. He's got some time now that he's been eligible. But he has a skill set that the Patriots are lacking. I fully submit that.
Fourth round pick.
I don't want him.
Really?
Wow. I would. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I don't want him.
Okay.
Why not again? Can you?
$10 million. Don't want to pay it.
Well, he's just got all this cap money. We're just going to leave it around.
But, Andy, you brought up Amendola, and I think that was a real positive to take out of the game, his involvement in all the different areas. And a lot of people looked at it like, well, okay, you don't like Chung returning kicks anymore because that was one of the areas Amendola contributed in. And Bill's answer to that was Chung's added involvement in the defense. And, you know, I was looking at some of the tape. I was talking about this yesterday. Chung was the hole filler for the run defense. And I don't know how long that's going to last.
And it wasn't good.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was very effectively filling holes.
And I think that's why they knew that Chung was really going to be playing a big role in run support. We can't have him returning kicks, too.
I thought that was very strange, the way that they opened with basically a big nickel as their sort of base defense against a team like New York that you probably thought was going to come in and try to establish the run. That was a little weird to me, the way they did that. And then they switched and they went to a three-corner look for a little while. They mixed in some base play. Not sure it was the best. You know how we always talk about sometimes the Jets, they overthink things? That felt a little overthinking.
Yeah. But, you know, that made perfect sense. But I think now that we've seen Amendola back there, even if Chung's role...
Will you be upset if Amendola is not returning kicks on Sunday?
Yeah. I think he...
I will be, too.
I will be, and you will be, but I'll bet you he's okay with it.
Hasn't he looked better than anyone they've had back there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They also changed... Yeah, Andy's right. They changed the package, too.
LaFell was back there with him. We haven't seen LaFell back
there. Which is why I'm kind of calling BS on the reasoning. I think they wanted to make a change because they weren't getting any production out of it.
But why both?
Well, I think Slater is a little banged up, right? You know, so they didn't want Slater back there, and he's usually the guy back there. You know, the up guy.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, it's as simple as that.
But I would like
to
see Amendola.
We shouldn't overthink it.
I would like to see Amendola back there.
Yeah, I think they made a change because they wanted to increase the production.
And maybe that's
not overthinking.
Maybe that helps him elsewhere. Maybe he gets a little swagger back. He makes a guy miss, has a 40-yard return. You know, right? I can't compete on this field. I do belong in this damn field.
Right.
You know, part of it might have been a little bit of crisis of confidence. You know, he's not doing anything. Am I as good as I thought I was? Maybe I'm just not as good. Maybe I was only good
because
I was on a terrible team.
Right. I was king of the dip.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that Brady went to Amendola in that spot, third and goal at the 19.
Well, that was
to me, that was good.
Yeah. But
he didn't go to Amendola. He was scrambling around frantically
and he poured in a storm.
Hey, well, nice. I'm glad he looked his way.
I'm glad that he made the play because that was a great play.
Now, Fred Kirsch style.
On both parts, Brady's part, too.
Are you glad he sprinted up to celebrate with Amendola? Is that relevant in any way?
Absolutely. You know,
not really. But
it's the same thing, you know, last or 2011 when he sprinted up to Ocho Cinco. Just so happy to see the guy finally make a play.
Yeah, that didn't really work out, though.
No, it didn't. But I actually think Amendola at this point in his career is better than Ocho Cinco was by far back then. So,
yeah. Well, he caught 50-something passes last year.
I think Ocho Cinco is a far better wide receiver than Amendola was.
When
he got to – no, not with the Patriots.
That's
when he got to the Patriots.
That's not what you were saying,
when he came to the Patriots, he was a better player than Amendola was when he came to the Patriots.
No, he wasn't.
They've been here, Amendola caught 50 passes. Ocho caught like 20, right? Ocho didn't catch anything that year.
Right, and that's my point.
Yeah, but I think when they came to the Patriots, Ocho Cinco was a better player than Amendola was.
God, yeah.
Well, you're not saying that, are you?
Over the course of his career, yes, but
when he came to the Patriots.
Prior to arriving in New England.
In 2010, he was a better player.
But he fell off the cliff when he got here.
Yeah, I don't think he fell off the cliff.
You think the Patriots ruined him?
I think he had a hard time fitting in, much like Amendola is right now.
How did he fit in
Miami? Did Amendola fall off the cliff?
Has
Amendola fallen off the cliff? He has four catches. Has he fallen off the cliff?
But last year
he hasn't fallen off the cliff.
Last year he got here. He had like 50 some odd
catches.
Okay,
did he fall off the cliff?
No, because he was hurt.
What about this year?
This year is a different story.
But has he fallen off the cliff?
I hope not. I don't know.
He hasn't fallen off the cliff, Fred.
I don't know. We'll see when the season's over, you know.
He was on the way to falling off the cliff. But he was halfway through the year with like three catches or whatever it was.
He's halfway through it now with four.
I know, but if he builds on that, then he didn't fall off the cliff. If he goes back to what he did the first 6 weeks, he fell off the cliff.
If he ends the season with 15 catches, he fell off the cliff.
I don't want to put, I didn't want to put words in your mouth. I thought you meant that Ocho Cinco fell off the cliff. He couldn't play physically. And I'm sorry, but if Amendola catches five passes this year, I'm not ready to say that physically he can't play. It's not a physical problem with Danny Amendola. right now.
No, I think it's a mental problem, just like it was with Ochocinco.
On whose part?
Both Brady and him.
Yeah, I just think that he's not really needed in this offense. That's all. I think Edelman has taken away his job. I think it's as simple as that. I don't think physically he can't do it anymore.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't characterize him if he has, what did you say, 15 catches, Andy? I wouldn't characterize that as, he fell off the cliff. He can't play anymore. He just hasn't had the opportunities.
What day is it?
Tuesday.
I just wanted to see if you two would agree. A lot of pent up. It has been since Wednesday.
It's been a while.
I think it's pretty simple. Yeah. I think he just hasn't had the opportunities. Yeah, that's all.
I agree.
I'm not ready to give up on.
We all agree with that, Paul. But the question is why? You know,
because Edelman is better in that role. I don't really think it's a mystery. I mean, I might not be right.
No, I know, and you've been consistent with
that. I might not be right about that. That's just my opinion.
You just think there's so much duplication there that he hasn't had.
And I think there's too many guys catching passes in the same area of the field.
I find it, hard to believe with everything they told us about Amendola when they signed him that he couldn't do other things.
What did they tell us?
Well,
that he was.
That's part of the reason I don't think he was as good a player as Ocho was when he got here.
We were told, compared to Edelman, he's faster, a little bit bigger. More speed.
Who told us that?
People.
He's
on
not
the
bigger.
Inside.
Bigger than who?
Edelman.
He's roughly the same size.
He can stretch the field more than Edelman.
I don't know that they said that.
Some have said. They did.
No, I'll tell you who said it. We said it.
Right.
The Patriots didn't say it. The media did.
Wait, did they say it, Fred?
People said it.
Did they?
People.
People you talked to?
I tell you, I'll talk to somebody. I talked to someone close
to
football.
All right, I'm with Fred then. They said it.
I talked to someone who was in football, not a coach, but in football, who was scared to death at that move last year, and you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
So,
but because of
don't
injury.
Say that this was all coming out of, no, because they thought the guy that they lost was a much better player.
Oh. I'm telling you, I was told that.
How come I don't have any sources?
This guy can do a lot
you know
more.
What I'm
you know,
about.
Welker was great in what he did, but this guy could do a lot more. So I'm thinking, okay, great. Now you got.
That's
you know,
my argument.
Yeah, now you got Edelman and this guy. This guy should be able to do other
don't
things.
Don't understand just because Edelman's good why he can't be one of the top three or four options as well.
Right.
Never have understood that. That's where we ruined a Xbox One postgame show for the final half hour, as Scott Sudikoff couldn't rein us in and we just went off the tracks.
So, but anyway, things are looking better for the Patriots offense.
Yes.
I mean, you know, even with the
as
Jets.
They always do.
As good as the Jets defense is.
I try to
is,
tell you guys.
He's right. That always works out for the Patriots.
That's not what I try to tell you. I try to tell you I'm not worried about the offense.
No, you tell me it always works out for Belichick and Brady.
Well, I happen to have a lot of faith in those two individuals.
Oh, now yes. He likes Brady again. I haven't heard where he is on Brady. Oh,
for God's sake.
Upstairs, he was calling him soft as goo.
I was calling him that?
No.
Listen, just because you're afraid to bring your opinions on the radio.
No, I don't think he's
soft
as goo.
He says enough bad things about Brady. You don't have to
That's
make
true.
Stuff up.
That's
especially
true.
Stuff that he said.
Right.
No, I didn't
that
say
he doesn't
it.
Bring on
I
to
said
the radio.
He looks as soft as goo.
Exactly.
Because that,
but I
when
said
he was
nothing
trying
about
to buy a call
soft.
And he dives like that, he looks like a poo nani.
Right, but I didn't say any
That's
of this.
That's embarrassing
stuff.
When you don't get the, if you get the flag, okay, you're a savvy player. When you don't get the flag, you just look ridiculous.
Yeah, but I didn't say any of those things about him being soft.
You say everything at some point or another.
You said he looks like he's
Ordway Jr. over there.
Am I right on that?
That's right.
Freddie,
that's
thank
you.
But he isn't.
See?
Make sure
now
you,
Fred and I are going to align.
Sure you,
and,
make sure you put the whole story out. I said he's
you
not.
You said you look like that.
Yes.
Yes.
He looks
okay.
like a
But I didn't say any of it.
Sally boy
you,
playing quarterback.
Which you just told everybody that I said. What do we got over there, Eric? Anything?
Eric's here.
Not on the field, Brady. Soft
Hang
as
nail.
Goo.
Hangnail.
No, but Darrell Revis and Chandler Jones were not out there.
Veteran day off.
It might be. I was thinking that. Exact thing, actually.
You know, I know they played four games in 18 days, but they haven't played one in a while.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe they...
didn't get back in time.
Maybe.
I'm not overly concerned.
And
I'm
not, suspended.
Not on a Tuesday. Not on a rare Tuesday practice. No, I'm not concerned.
Correct.
At this point. If they do this the rest of the week, then I'll be concerned. But at this point, no. Good news, though. Brian Stork, you're starting center. Dan Connolly, your starting left guard.
Ish.
Both returned, as did the two finger guys, Ebner and Fleming, who've been out for, since Kansas City, I think, is when they got hurt?
Sure. Yes.
And so those guys are all back. Only those two that I mentioned, Jones and Revis, missing. So that's pretty good for attendance.
If they're actually missing, it's really bad for
no,
them.
No, but
I would go back and have Stork and Connolly out and
yeah,
get Revis
Fleming
and Chandler Jones back
follow
in.
His finger off the field if I can swap it for Revis.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that that's
And Chandler Jones, too.
Nothing to be concerned about, nothing to see here with those two guys. We did get to see two drill periods, which was a rare treat.
Now, were you all giddy? Because you all get really cranky and pissy when they kick you out early.
It was
so
nice.
Were you like giddy that they let you start?
No, it was nice because I had attendance done before stretching ended, which was nice. And then they said, we've got at least one period. So I was expecting at the end of the first period the horn to sound and we get to leave. And
they agree with me.
They
the
let
Bears
us stay
stink.
For another period. So it was nice. One thing I
almost
did notice, which was a little not troubling, but just noteworthy. Brandon LaFell, who's been coming on of late in games, had his left ankle heavily taped and was running through the his past drills going full speed, but he looked like he was favoring that one foot just a little bit, and it was the only one that had the heavy tape job. The other foot wasn't taped at all on the outside. So just something to keep in the back of your mind, maybe to look at on the injury report later, or you know, if it gets any worse or
that was,
better the rest of
I was going to ask you, we're not going to get one today, right?
I don't think so,
okay.
No.
So we won't know.
We probably won't know until tomorrow.
So is today a Monday?
No, today is like an extra day that doesn't really exist.
It is a little bit like a Monday, only they practiced.
Yeah.
Right. Were they in pads today?
Shells. Yep.
Okay. All right.
But
so today's
you know,
today's a special Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay. It is. A very special Tuesday at Gillette Stadium.
The rest of the week will be normal.
The rest of the week will be normal.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, they're off all weekend. You're not going to have them come in on Monday, then give them Tuesday off, and then come back Wednesday.
Right.
So he
just
gave
put
them
a full
yeah,
you work your way back and watch some film, some meetings on Monday, then you get out to practice.
Right. So, Eric, I asked the question early, the way the Bears lost and the trouble they're having and, you know, was – you know, unacceptable the way they lost the game.
It was what, Fred?
Unacceptable.
Okay.
Is this a good thing for the Patriots or a bad thing that the Bears come in pissed off or whatever they are?
I don't know so much about whether they're pissed off or not. I just think it's a matchup-wise, I think it's going to be tough for New England, especially the big receivers that Chicago has. The fact that they're better on the road so far this year than they are at home. I'd say maybe that as an intangible, I would throw that in there, that they had some locker room tension and now they're out maybe to prove a little bit of a point this week. I like the Bears in this game.
Do you?
I do. Because after two straight games where, you know, okay, they handled the Bills. They kept the Bills sort of at bay, if you will. Like they had the lead the whole time and the Bills would come back. They would extend the lead. They'd come back. They legitimately could have lost the game against the Jets the other night in a real surprise to me. I didn't think that they would be even come close to losing the game. I thought the Jets would keep it close. But
Fred thought that's the way it would go down, despite the fact that he picked the Patriots and you picked the Jets.
Yeah, see, I said I wasn't surprised that it was a close game.
But yet you gave the 10 points.
I think when Jets Patriots play, anything can happen. So I chose, you know, for the crazy blowout.
But
you know, but I'm not surprised it was close.
I think I don't.
But
think,
Paul has to make fun of that because you know.
I think. Well, that's like saying anything could happen. So whatever.
Well, that's the way the Jets.
So I'm right, no matter what happens.
But to your question, Fred, I do think it's not good when a team that has had some strife is the team that you're playing next, because inevitably, like with the Jets last week, there were a team that everybody was saying, oh, it's the end of rest.
Unless
and this
the
and
strife
that.
Is uncorrectable.
Right. And
Bow.
Uncorrectable.
Uncorrectable.
Uncorrectable. Right. But I don't know. I just have a feeling it's going to be a tough beginning of a tough stretch for New England.
Yeah.
These next six games or so.
If they lose this game, oh boy.
Yeah, it could be a slippery slope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if they win this game, it's still going to be a little bit of a slippery
slope.
It's still
going to be tough, obviously.
But
this is like kind of the games coming up, you kind of have to win this one. I'm not emotionally prepared to lose this game.
You should be.
You should be.
I'm not.
I'm
you should
not
be. Because I don't like what that says if we lose this game.
What does it say?
They're not that good?
Well, I think of all the teams we're about to play, this is probably the most beatable.
That's
true.
That is true. That is true. But
I lose to anyone on any Sunday.
And
I know
just
that.
Don't know why you would look at this game as any
because
different
than I'm me, and that's the way I am.
No, but okay,
the argument's over. Just so you know, he ended it. I'm me, and that's the way I am.
I just look at, you can lose to bad teams. I mean, it happens every once in a while. Sure. You get upset every once in a while.
Well, you have to look at it. Obviously, you have to look at it in context and see what happened in the game.
It's not ideal to enter a stretch of games like the one the Patriots are about to enter and lose the game against the team that you, in your mind at least, picture as the weakest of those, whatever, six or seven teams.
Yeah,
that's not ideal.
I think at the end of
I think
the
Bears have talent.
They're going to need this win.
Yeah,
at the end of the year, they're going to need this win.
Who is
the Patriots?
Oh, okay.
I think
if the Bears lose this game,
I think we could end up saying, oh, if they'd only beaten the Bears.
The only thing that worries me is what you guys are talking about in terms of the locker room, because I do think that you get a dangerous team coming in. That's one of those things, you know, you start pointing fingers in your own locker room and maybe someone's sitting there saying, well, I did everything I could, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to do even more. I'm going to make sure that no one's going to be pointing fingers at me next week. I didn't have anything to point your finger at me last week, but I'll be damned if I'm going to let him talk this week and have me in mind.
But,
and everybody takes that mentality, and you play well, it could be a really dangerous game.
And that's
game.
The thing. If you play well, but if things start going south
well,
for
if you,
you
lose this game,
then it goes downhill real fast
this,
for the Bears.
If you lose this game, it's over for the Bears.
Right.
And that's why, you know, sometimes the desperate team is a dangerous one. And I do – that element of it is not a good
like
thing
the Jets
for the
were
Patriots.
Last week.
Yeah, I think that was different because it was what you said, more so the Jets, like a division opponent and
but
all that stuff.
But they were also desperate.
That knows you really well. This is a team that has absolutely – no personnel whatsoever to do anything to stop you defensively. They're all on injury reserve or just not playing. They had a rookie come in and play some good cornerback for him. He's out now, and Kyle Fuller.
That's troublesome
just
for them.
Do not
the cornerback.
Right
Kyle
now,
Fuller.
The Patriots' offense is playing at a good level.
They are.
They've seemed to gotten their act together. And there's nothing Chicago can do about it. So even if Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery and Matt Forte and all these guys do all these things that I believe that they are very capable of doing against a very average Patriots defense.
Yeah, Patriots win 35-25.
Absolutely.
I think it could be a very high
scoring. And maybe 45-35. Whatever it takes, I think they'll win it.
I think Paul's right. It's going to be a high scoring game. Regardless of how close it is, I think it's going to be
over.
And the other side of that, if it's not a high-scoring game, that means Andy's thing comes to play, and Cutler turned it over a couple of times, and it rolled the other way on him, and Chicago wasn't able to keep up because they kept turning it over.
Well, if they turn it over, they lose. That's
right.
Simple.
And that's what they
I'm
do.
Just not where you guys are for the Patriots offense yet. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't still
I'm
think
not where what's his name? Well, anyway, we scored 35 points in the last 3 games. I haven't put away the visions of 3 and outs and slow starts and the running game not being anything of any value and pressure on Brady. Like, I haven't gotten past all those demons that I still see in my head.
I haven't gotten past them all yet either, but I mean, this is a defense that can't do anything about it. You just went against some pretty decent defenses the last 3 weeks and put some points up.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398
What's the
is the ace ticket hotline. What?
Not that number. What's the
855-500?
Yeah.
7, I think.
That's it.
Let me shoot through some of these emails responding to some of the things we've been talking about. Tony says, watched a few Bengals games in the year prior to Ocho arriving here. He not only looked old, but his hands were horrible. Palmer would literally put it right in his hands, and Ocho would flat out drop it. It also seemed that year he had 2 routes, a button hook and a run down the sideline. He would drop perfect passes on both. Remember texting anyone and everyone that August that Ocho was done.
Congratulations.
Let's see. Mike says, no, I don't want to read that one. There was another one that...
Are we now censoring emails?
That was hard to figure out. Don't want to read that one. I wonder what that one said.
Super Bowls. Kyle says, Fred, Ridley has never and will never have a game like Ivory did against the Patriots. In addition, I'm not scared of Forte at all. Patriots will beat the Bears by 3 scores. So all I said was that Ridley was running very hard.
Why are we not afraid of Forte?
He just says he's not afraid of Forte, that's all.
So Ivory just had a game that Ridley has never had, according to the emailer. Forte is a lot better than Chris Ivory, and we're not afraid of him. Makes sense. These are your people, Fred.
And by the way, Forte can beat you like Jamal Charles does with the air and the ground. He could be the FedEx air and ground player.
And I would even say, well, maybe Ivory wasn't the number one focus of the defense, that, and Forte will be. But Ivory was the number one focus.
I was going to say, what was the number one focus?
So I don't really you know, the only thing that you have to stop with the Jets is the running game, and you couldn't do it. Now you have, you know, three dangerous passing targets and a running game.
I mean, if I was the next team, I'd say I'm going to try that too.
Yeah, I'm not anticipating you know, the Bears coming in here and getting shut out unless they turn the ball over like five times.
Johnny in L.A., I was chatting with my sister yesterday. She lives back east. She mentioned hearing Paul on some other radio back show east. And exclaimed, he sounded nothing like he does on PFW. He's
You've
really
noticed?
Optimistic and nice.
You've noticed?
It was pretty funny, and it led to a conversation about how Fred has the ability to quite literally drive other people out of their minds.
Yeah, Fred, Eric, in the first 30 minutes, the only thing I could get Paul and Fred to agree on was what day it was.
Wait, are you sure?
Yeah. Well, then Fred started to question.
Because he was asking if it was a Monday now.
Right. So.
Then Andy started telling people what he was saying upstairs. They're only saying that I said it. And then Fred called him out on it. So me and Fred
right.
were on
and then we walked in.
And me and Fred yeah. got on the same right. side.
It's like WWE, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right.
One tag team partners, right. and then you turn on somebody. Right. Oh, yeah.
All right. Heal.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas.
G'day.
How are we all doing after the weekend?
Tremendous.
Good. I'm still basking in the glow of Peyton Manning's 500 touchdowns. I stunned him.
Yeah, there's a lot to bask in after that. A lot of media, shall we say, ebullience after.
Could you say something else other than that? Because I don't know what that means. Ebullience.
Ebullience, and you'd probably bathe in it rather than bask in it, if you know what I mean. But
spunk.
Hand lotion and tissues to the offices of ESPN, shall we say?
Oh, okay.
anyhow. Before we get off on yet another tangent, I got two questions, and I want to kind of give an answer to one, and then I'll let you hear what you guys have to say. The first question is Thursday night's game a regression to what was occurring earlier in the season, or was it just a road bump? And the second question is, are they going to do anything with the running game? Do you see them after Thursday night bringing in anybody, or are they going to give Gray and Vereen and Bolden another opportunity? And just on the first question, I just want to put forward my answer before I hear yours. I think it's just a road bump. I don't think it's a regression back to where they were in the beginning of the season. And the reasons for that are Brady still had a solid game. He wasn't dominant, but he still had three touchdowns and was at 200-some yards. I think they also missed Mayo on the defense. It just seemed kind of disorganized. I think they really missed his leadership there. I think they didn't have a balance in the running game. Vereen was looking gassed by the end of the evening, and I think that hurt them offensively. I think, as we all know, Ryan has a hard-on for beating Bill. So, you know, the Jets, no matter how they're doing in the rest of the season, are always going to come amped up for the contest, whether or not that actually results in a good game or not. You know, we've seen that sort of varies, but I think all those factors just lead into it being that not necessarily being really indicative of where the Patriots really are in their ability going forward with other games. So, but I'd like to hear your opinions on that, and also if you think they're going to do anything with the run game.
No, I agree with the offense. I think it was not a regression. I respect the Jets' defense, and I think putting up 27 points in them was good. So not worried about the offense. I'm with Paul. But I do think, though, we're seeing things with the defense that it's mostly – depth and quality up front, you know, when stopping the run. You know, you go back to Tommy Kelly. I can't believe that he wouldn't be helpful the run. Now, they lost Silver Salinga. He might come back at some point. He's designated to return. And remember last year when they lost Wilfork and Mayo, he kind of steadied the ship a little bit. So you're missing
him. Casey Walker this year.
Yeah. So
I'm ready.
Well, he didn't steady the ship last, you know, Thursday night.
Give him time. He only eats fish.
You know, we're waiting for Easley.
He still weighs 300 you know, pounds.
We're waiting for Easley to start.
I've given up.
Making an impact
fish.
Here.
I'm off that.
But right now, up front, they've got some issues when it comes to stopping the run.
Yes, and that includes linebacker.
And I think that was it's not you know three games already over 200 yards.
191, but
okay.
Yeah. But two games over 200 yards.
Yeah.
Did you read my little thing? Box.
I might have.
They hadn't given up multiple 200-yard rushing performances since 04, and they've only given up more than two in a season once, and that was 02. Other than that, it was 0 or 1 in the Belichick era. We already have two, and you're very close to a third there in seven games, 191, 208, right. 16, whatever.
So they've got to do something. And the problem is they probably could make adjustments to beef that up, but at what expense?
Well, and that's where it's funny. Now you get into almost a philosophical thing, because I said to Paul, I think, on the postgame show, if I have to be better at something, then you'd probably pick pass defense.
In this day and age,
well,
yes.
And in this conference, even. Yeah. In the NFC, I might feel a little bit differently, but in this conference, where I'm going to play the Colts or the Chargers or the Broncos to get where I want to go, I need to stop the pass, right? But if you flat out can't run and can't stop the run,
then you can't get the ball.
Then it infringes upon your pass defense, and then it's all play action.
Well, that's what troubles me about this week is the fact that the Bears can run the ball, they can throw the ball when they're not, you know, when the quarterback isn't making some mistakes, but they are. They're equally good at both when they're clicking. And New England's passing offense has stepped up since Gronk has started to get a little better. And Tim Wright's been involved. LaFell's been involved. But they still aren't running the ball consistently.
And they're not going to. I just don't think they're going to. Now, that was back to Dan's question. You know, do they address it with another week to go here? I would. I'm
too.
Sorry. I do not think that Bolden, Vereen, Gray, I don't think you're going to have a competitive or even complementary running game necessarily with those guys.
I agree with Andy on that. I would go after one. But the point that I wanted to...
Felix Jones, by the way? Any interest?
I'd take a shot.
He's out there.
Yeah,
I saw he worked out for somebody. Skinny legs.
You know, something Andy brought up, though, that I think... I agree that if I had my choice, I'd rather be strong in pass defense. But when you're as bad as they have been periodically stopping the run, that affects your pass defense. And I saw that last Thursday night, because the Jets don't have a passing game. But when you're devoting that many people to stopping the run, even the Jets were able to complete all their passes and have guys open all over the place. And that wasn't because the Patriots just forgot to cover that week. It was because they had to do so much to try to stop the run. And if that's going to continue, then you're going to get good passing teams that are going to really be able to take advantage of that, not just throw for 230 yards like Geno Smith. They're going to throw for like 400 on you when they have good passing attacks.
Ron Brace is out there, right? Maybe they can out in Springfield.
Casey
Brace yourself.
Casey Walker is going to step up late in the year. He's going to become
he's
that
your guy?
Silver Salinga.
Because you did They're a big interview with him?
He's a nice man. But he's big, and he says he can do it all.
You already did interview him, right?
Yeah. No, I know, yeah, and he says he can do it all. He said that's what he did in Carolina. Besides stopping the run, he rushed the passer. You know, he never played an actual game, but that's what he did in Carolina.
A year plus on the practice squad. That's what I was doing, doing it all.
Let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. 5-2, familiar position.
Yes.
Not much like Jumbo's mama is on her back.
Easy.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a certain comfort in being there at the top of the division.
Yeah, it is. Looking down.
Looking down, but
like I look down on your mother when she's
in my lap.
Not nice. Big timing now. Paul, he's big timing us. I turned on EEI the other morning, and I hear him on there, so he's a big shot now.
In the morning?
Yeah, oh yeah, Friday morning.
Wow.
They were playing PFW Friday morning when I got in my car. I thought I was like half awake.
No, they were just ripping us. They're trying to steal from our ratings.
Oh, wait, so you weren't on the show?
No.
Who, me?
Yeah.
They were playing PFW.
Oh, they were playing clips of us?
Yep.
Yeah. So they were making fun of Andy.
Oh, yep. Is this that thing with...
Yeah.
With
Minahe?
Yeah.
Miniman?
Yeah. Oh, God. That's still going on?
I don't think so.
No, it was last week.
No,
it was last week.
But you guys haven't had a show since...
We haven't had a show. It feels like we haven't had a show since Wednesday.
Yep. Quick question about the linebacker position. Going forward, is Hightower going to be the guy who's going to be making the calls?
Yes. I think he's got to be, yeah.
Yes.
And where do you see the kid, 55, what's his name?
Deontay Skinner?
Skinner.
Yeah. What do you guys think of him going forward as a full-time starter?
I don't know. I mean,
dubious.
That's a big fall-off in talent. I mean,
obviously. Yeah. And I haven't seen enough to rip him or praise him. He was out there, like, he didn't come on till late the other day, and then they got rid of him. Jesus, Brent. Brent just dropped his pizza on his microphone.
Good thing it's Greek pizza. It kept its form.
What does that mean?
No one has any idea.
People know.
Yeah, I thought it was weird the way they used him, but you just, he hasn't played enough to say he's going to be good. To me, the guy who needs to step up, and I've said this, Ed, is Jamie Collins. I think he's,
yeah.
If you watch him, the first thing I told Paul a couple weeks ago was watch him. He never moves. His feet just stay stolid. He has, like, no momentum, no... You know how you see, like, Mike Singletary and these guys, and they're all, like, fired up and, like, happy feet, and they're ready to just pounce? He's, like, flat-footed, like, where's... Oh, the ball's going over there. Okay, I guess I'll take a step in that direction. And then he's not big enough.
Although,
he's,
according
he's
to...
not stout enough.
I don't know if it's Pro Football Focus, but Gil Brandt ran out a stat that he's the number one rated linebacker in pass defense.
Coverage. I don't care about coverage.
Right.
I'm talking about a team that's given up 200 yards on the ground, and he's a part of the problem, getting squished like bug.
Yeah.
He's not big enough to be late and then just take on blockers. He needs to beat some blockers with athleticism, anticipation, speed, instincts, and I see none of that. I think he needs to go back outside.
And Andy was dropping the knowledge on me during the game, and it was. It was startling. You watched him, and he was
like that guy from Alabama. Remember him?
Freddie Roach.
Freddie Roach.
He would stand there and let the blocker get on him, and not even that he was having problems disengaging. He was just getting blown off the ball.
Right.
And he had like 13 tackles in that game. But he was just getting pushed off the line of scrimmage badly. And that's going to be a problem because not only they're very thin at linebacker, if the ones they have that they're relying on, like Hightower and Collins, can't play the run better than they played it Thursday night, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Could it have been with Collins that he was told not to overcommit because he kind of had to keep an eye on Geno Smith?
I don't buy it.
I'm just asking.
Sounds like excuse making.
Well, according to the...
Then how did that go?
I know.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And you guys worried about the amount of snaps Vince has been taking?
Yes, especially with the amount that you're going to have to rely on him if you are going to have a competitive run defense.
Because
if he's out, well then, it's hitting the fan and you're just screwed.
Yeah. And I think the next six games define the season. And
I'm going to yell at you right now. That's stupid.
No.
Well, I do.
Right.
I think that's
stupid. It defines your regular season. Because if you lose a bunch of these next games but sneak into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl, that defines your season.
All right. Can we come back to play?
Well, after these next six games, they'll win week 14. So.
But if you go 2-4, Fred, what's your record?
I don't know.
7-6. And then you go 10-6 and you make the playoffs and you beat the Broncos and you beat the Colts and you go to the Super Bowl and you beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Okay, guess what everybody's going to say? You had a great season. It defined you the way you reacted to some adversity.
I'm with Chris.
Yeah.
In
I
the
think
years
his point
that the
is,
Patriots
ridiculous.
Won the Super Bowl, in the regular season, they beat all the tough
That's
teams.
Right.
Or at least most of them. If they're going 7-6 after
I just want to know that if they're 2-4 in this stretch, the season's over. It was a bad
mathematically,
season.
Mathematically, you're right.
Even in February, when they're putting rings on their fingers, it was a bad season.
I'm not afraid to say it. If they go 2-4 in the stretch, they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I agree with Christian wholeheartedly.
Paul. Yeah. There's no question about it. These next six games, these are the top teams around.
This is our Super Bowl.
Good to know.
It's not, but
good
he's
know. Right. No, Christian's right.
Don't be an ass.
You see where you're at.
He can't help
himself. Where
you're at now. This you're right, Christian.
Where you're at.
And you're absolutely right.
See where we're at.
You're absolutely right, Christian. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, will the ring ceremony be in December,
how does that work? Christian, thanks for the call.
I don't understand why you can't figure out that when something happens, you feel like it's going to lead to something else. Obviously, we'll have to wait.
It didn't define you.
And then that would be different.
But what are the
different
chances?
Story.
That it's more likely that if they go 2-4, they don't reach the Super Bowl or they do.
Well, I think right now it's more likely they don't reach the Super Bowl regardless of what happens in these next six.
Yeah, but if they go 6-0.
So if they go 2-4, you're going to feel better about it?
Why are y'all yelling at me?
Right.
Because you're being an ass.
All right, let's take a quick break.
It's another one of those things that you actually agree with the person, but for some reason you decide you don't want to.
When we come back, we'll get to Neil from Montreal and Chester and Eldridge, who I'm sure wants to talk about Mr. Timms. We'll be right back.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're gonna. So this cafeteria turns into a hotel, and now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino, and Gino has no pants on. Gino Capoletti, and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like
hello.
It was like a weird deformity. Like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. Oh.
All right, back here on PFW.
Thanks, Friday. Babe. Hang around.
That's
for
an oldie
while.
But goodie. That one never.
I think we could call him that again today.
Me?
Wait, yeah, you mean all? And cantankerous.
No. I actually agree because I just found out this 6-game stretch is the toughest any team has faced since 1942. God. Actually, it was 2005, and I don't know what the criteria was. Yeah. But I actually did read that from Christopher Price on Twitter.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? So we got Storkey back. We got Conley back,
yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about this previously. I don't know if we talked about it with you. Did you see where Bill kind of talked about Conley and Stork in the same breath in terms of sort of their importance? And Paul and I both sort of perked up for a guy who's started two games to be included in there. It was interesting.
It's, you know.
But what is the starting line?
What
is the starting line?
What do I, we think the starting line should be?
Think, should, will be, whatever. However you
want
to answer.
I think they want Stork in the middle. Sandwiched by Wendell and Connolly. I think that's what they want. That's what they trust the most right now.
I don't like Wendell as a guard.
I know you don't. You know, maybe Devy earned a spot. I don't know.
I don't like
but
Devy
I think,
as a guard.
I think they want Connolly at guard, not at center.
Devy can be Brady's bouncer. Want, that's all Devy can be.
Yeah.
When somebody gets a little too close, hit him. But otherwise, I don't
and
want
to. Stork is obviously a center.
Yeah.
And so then we're talking about that one spot, whether it's Devy or Wendell or
Klein.
I would
be happiest with Klein at right guard.
See, I don't know. I think it's a toss-up to me. I don't really know.
Klein is the guy I feel like I want to see for a little bit more extended.
I know what I have in Cannon, and I don't
but
like
I want
it.
Connolly next to Solder as well, you know, for a lot of reasons.
We got to cover up for our $7.5 million left tackle.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not going to whistle past the graveyard just because he's $7.5
million
but dollar tackle.
I think your best five are Solder, Connolly, Stork, Klein, Vollmer.
I think I agree with Eric.
I don't.
I should probably rethink it.
I think Wendell was one of the best five.
Yeah,
I have not ever seen the Josh Klein infatuation, and I also think Jordan Devy was beyond bad the other night, with the exception of what I thought was a very good team-oriented penalty that he took that I give him multiple props for, even though Bill was not happy with it and said that. I think he said what a coach has to say there.
Yeah, I think if you the old truth serum, he would answer that differently.
Yeah, I thought that those guys. I wonder if is there any possibility Stork's a little more than a little. Stork is bigger than Wendell.
Yeah,
and I wonder if there's a possibility that you could flip flop them because I thought Wendell really solidified things in the middle the other day, and I didn't see much problems coming over the center. That we've seen, and you're worried, Andy.
But we haven't seen Stork at any other position, even in camp, other than center, have we?
Right. That's why I said I wonder if they could move Stork to guard and maybe see what happens with Wendell in the middle.
That's why I say I don't wonder that, because I think that he's a center and he's a center.
I kind of agree.
But Wendell was too until he played guard.
No, he's played
some guard.
He's played guard on an emergency basis.
Right. He's played some guard. I've never seen Stork play guard.
Okay. So it can't happen then.
Well,
right.
Well, the other thing too is
we decided to start a guy who never played one snap of guard at right guard in Kansas City in a Monday night game, despite the fact that he never ever had tried it before. Belichick thought that was the right thing to do.
All right, let's go to Darius in London. He's a first-time caller, and
facts get in the way of an argument.
He's holding on across the pond. Hey, Darius.
That's uncool, guys. Come on, get it right.
Okay.
What's that?
Third time caller, but I'll blame Kevin for that one. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, we always do.
For what?
Third time caller.
Third time. He has first time caller written right here. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Kevin has bad ears.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm worried about you guys for several reasons, mainly because of Fred's dreams, for starters. I mean, who dreams about that kind of thing?
A sick man. A sick man.
Hey, listen, I'm sick.
He likes junk.
Sick doesn't quite cut it, mate. You want to get looked at, honestly.
Who is this, Russell Brand?
He's calling from London.
Okay, all right.
What do you
it's funnier.
Hey, I'm not a Cockney, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, my gripe.
What did he say?
Cockney.
What's a Cockney?
Oh, come on. Stop you it. Don't know what. Go ahead, Darius. I'm sorry.
A bullion? Cockney? Have you never heard anything? You went to Tufts, for God's sakes.
To play football.
Now he's home, man.
Go ahead, Darius. I know this.
I did the seemingly. Now I feel bad. I'm sorry.
Did you call on the UK toll free number?
Is there a vagina knee?
Oh, good.
Got my head in my hands at the moment. I've got to admit, but this...
and he's back.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, but there you go.
All right, you Cockney. What do you got?
Pass rush.
We don't have one. We don't have one.
Are
Let's
you
going to
let him talk?
I answered it. He said pass rush? Question mark. We don't have one.
Jeez. You gotta let a caller elaborate every once in a while.
Yeah. All right, go. There's dead air now. It's bad radio.
See?
Yeah, I just wondered, do you think this is the coaching staff realizing that the guys they've got aren't the most penetrative? Yeah, Andy, you can laugh at that one.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. Penetrative.
Oh, penetrative.
Yeah, thank you. Or do you think it's the fact that they're not putting in enough blitzes, they're not putting in play calls that will get enough pressure up the middle, and they're just happy to try and let the coverage guys do the work? I mean, I'm really at a loss to figure out what's going on with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Darius. I mean, when the season started, we thought, okay, with Revis back there and, you know, all this depth in the secondary, maybe they'll take more chances, because other than that, they haven't done anything up front that they didn't have last year in terms of, now they can get penetration. They couldn't really get penetration one-on-one last year. Why did we think they'd be able to do it this year without stunting or blitzing or doing something exotic? Now, you throw Easley in the mix, but he hasn't done anything either, you know, to create any disruption. So,
no, he's been hurt, though.
So I don't think we can expect any more pressure than we've seen in the past if they don't blitz or do stuff like that.
Now, do you think that they should have blitzed more in the first seven games?
No.
No, I don't either, because I think that you play bad teams, you play bad quarterbacks, and you let them beat themselves.
Right.
And for the most part, that happened.
Yeah, I right.
And you also lost a portion of your pass rush, seemingly, with Mayo. They've been doing that all summer, that was those inside blitzes, delayed blitzes. Now, we saw it with Skinner did it in Buffalo. Maybe they'll continue some. But I think Mayo, they were sort of going to utilize in a role there that you're going to lose out on.
And, you know, we've seen pressure, but when most of the time when we do, it's because of good coverage.
Yeah, and Chandler Jones has had the occasional wow play.
Yeah, he just hasn't done it consistently.
More than he has the first cut. I think he's had more wow plays this year than we had previously seen from
him. Yeah, he's gotten a lot of
Taylor's,
one-on-one.
Those ones I've been calling for were, he's around the corner.
Yeah, and I thought
his one-on-ones have been pretty good this year.
Yeah, the blind side sack to Kyle Orton was instantaneous.
Did you have onions?
That he strip-sacked Orton on, and I thought the other day he had a really strong pass rush that wasn't coverage-related. They also sent Patrick Chung on a blitz once that really got the ball out of Geno Smith's hands in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when you play bad quarterbacks, you don't try to give them an easy play. You know, sometimes you blitz and you have one fluke throw, and all of a sudden you're vulnerable to it. I think you let Derek Carr and Geno Smith and Kyle Orton, you let them pick their way down the field and try to beat you. They're not going to do it very often, and they haven't.
All right, Darius, anything else before I let you go?
Well, I was just going to add a little bit on. I mean, obviously, Hightower's been hurt the last couple of games. He's going to come back into the team now, you would have thought. Now, do you think he's going to be doing a lot of covering for Mayo, or do you think they might use him the way they used him for the first couple of games where they let him rush the passer a little bit?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
either.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It'll be interesting to see if this big nickel thing that we saw last week is a long-term thing or if it was a pure game plan thing. They're in transition a little bit here without Mayo. When you lose a guy like that, a three-down player at that position, Well, now you're
sure,
because there's very few of those.
We joke about it, but that's
thanks,
true.
Thanks, Darius.
I mean, he does a lot. He did a lot of things for that defense. And now you're going to probably have to ask a guy like Hightower, who I thought was playing really well, doing some of those
different things.
Yeah. He's going to have to go back to a more traditional inside linebacker spot, I think, to help them stop the run.
And I think that hurts them.
Yeah,
Did you see yesterday,
I apologize, I forget which game and who the players were, but it was a left tackle on an end.
It was Ware on Staley.
And he thought he was going to do a spin move, and the guy was just gone.
Unbelievable. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Oh, that was hysterical.
I don't know if I've ever seen that happen.
Yeah.
Did you see the play?
No.
DeMarcus Ware faked a spin move, just gave a half turn, and Staley spun around to meet him on the inside. Only he didn't do a spin move, right. So he just kept going.
Where did he go? It was like magic.
This one I was way.
And that's a good tackle. I mean, that's not like... Yeah.
This one I was way wrong on. He looks
Staley?
Pretty good. No, Ware.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that he was done, physically done, and I didn't really like that signing for Denver, but he's given them a presence, and I think that's really helped Von Miller on the other side because Von Miller looks better right now than he did last year. Now, I know he had the suspension, and then he got hurt, so his season was really truncated in the middle there, but they look like they have good edge pressure, too.
Yeah, they got some talent.
Wow, what are we worried about? We have the offensive line. Set.
Neil's in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
Hey, that's why they don't.
Guys.
Hey,
just enjoying the show as usual. I was certainly interested in hearing some of your comments from either your emailers or yourself to a chat. Also, Ochocinco, who, as you may or may not know, now plays for the Montreal Alouettes. Although here he's had to change his name to Chad 85. You can explain that.
85,
Eric, and he doesn't get to play because he's not good enough. So. Just to give you a follow-up,
I'm sure you've
all been wondering what's been happening with him.
Has he stayed out of trouble? Have there been any brush fires with him?
Locker room tensions, a la Percy Harvin.
Oh,
he's gotten in fights? He's fighting his teammates?
Not that bad, but I guess he came in here as a true diva.
And he
was playing as a Josh Boyce.
Nice.
So that didn't go well with his teammates.
Yeah, hard to be a diva if you blow.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What happened here?
I was thinking of the trade deadline, and actually, I was thinking one of the deeper positions we actually have right now is wide receiver. I'm kind of happy with what we've got. It could be better, but I was wondering, do you think we could package the two guys who are living on Taylor Price Way, Josh Boyce and Aaron Dobson, and package them and get something that can help us either on the defensive line or as a run-stopping linebacker?
Well, hey, I think anything's possible.
Boyce is irrelevant because he's on the practice squad, so any team that wants him could sign him, and to trade him, you'd actually have to promote him to your roster.
Right.
But Dobson, a second-round pick, a year removed, may have some value. If you can find the right team that thought he was a good player, that still thinks, you know, change of scenery, the Brady, the whatever, you might be able to find some. It would take the right partner, I think.
Do you guys have any feelings about players who realistically we might be able to get with a trade like that and with perhaps a mid to lower draft choice?
Well, Paul's guy, Paul Posnowski, is out for the season.
He's not my guy.
He tore his pec.
He's your guy.
Tore his pec.
And I was thinking that LeGarrette Blount might be in a legitimate one, but they're going to be in it. They think they're going to be in it. So I thought maybe they would go down the tubes. I know, Paul. Everybody stinks. There's no good teams in football. Everybody stinks.
Well, I mean, what are they in? They're 4-3. They stink.
But that's good enough.
For what?
Patriots are 5-2. Do they stink? So you're one game behind the team that everybody loves.
But the Patriots are in first place. They're in third.
No, there's a big difference. But you're 4-3. You have 9 games to play.
And they're playing the teams in front of them.
And they're also, but see, that's part of the problem. They haven't played any good teams yet.
No, I know.
And they're 4-3.
But they're in it.
They've played Cleveland twice.
You might think they don't have a shot because.
And all these other bad teams. Right. They're going to lose those games to good teams.
But technically, they're in it.
No, I know they're
and
in
realistically,
it, but
they're
not
in
going
this isn't
anywhere.
Like
but they're not going to give up players now.
Right. They're not going to just deal off a backup running back because the season's over.
It's not like Tampa Bay.
To me, that's a thing you do. If your season's over and somebody comes calling for your veteran backup running back,
but I
listen to get a draft pick.
But I think there's only 2 or 3 teams that fall into that category that are going to be dealing at the deadline because they're done.
Well, that's who you really have to look at in terms of
if LeGarrette Blount is as unhappy as been reported, then they might be looking to get out from under. And he could be available.
Really
disgruntled guys are guys that you look for, not guys on bad teams, not just guys on bad teams.
Yeah.
You know, Isaac Sopawaga last year was not playing for a team that won the division. You were able to get him to fill a need. It didn't have to be a team that was eliminated. The Eagles were in it.
I think anyone that's really any of substance, it's going to be tough to get.
Obviously.
I would take
at the trade deadline in the NFL, you don't get a lot of Percy Harvins available.
Right.
That's not generally how it works. But right. I'm with Andy. I would take Blunt in a heartbeat if they could get him for a low-round pick, which I think they probably could. Why not? You know he fits in here. He already did.
They got Gray. He's as good as Blunt.
Oh, boy. Okay. As long as we're bringing logic to the table.
But are there any people on the defensive side, on the defensive line or linebackers, say the teams that are not playing well, like a Tampa Bay or a Jacksonville or whatever, that could help the team?
Paul?
I don't know. I just don't know why you would limit yourself to just the bad teams.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm not limiting, but I'm saying realistically, if you're not a bad team, you may not want
to. You got to find a backup for somebody. You're not going to get a lot of frontline players.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We want a guy to start instead of Skinner. We want a guy to start instead of Pacey Walker.
I think you can get a backup like James Anderson from Tennessee if you didn't cut him. That's better than Skinner, but not starting for the team he's playing on.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to explain. It doesn't have to be an all-pro. You're not going to get Ray Lewis. But you might be able to get somebody who
could get Ray Lewis.
Is not a guy like the kid from Pittsburgh last night, Spence, who's only playing because Shazier got hurt 4 weeks ago, who's supposed to be coming back. Now, I'm not saying that he is available. I'm saying a guy who's playing
like that. Yeah.
As a backup who might be looking for more playing time, and maybe he's upset because he's going to lose his job.
And who's better than what you've
and
got.
And is better than what you have.
I know everybody thinks the Patriots have the deepest roster in the history of the world because that's their philosophy, but there could be backups elsewhere that are better than your backups.
But that's my point. And that's why I wouldn't limit it to just the bad teams. You know, like Tampa Bay actually has some decent linebackers. They have Levante David.
I don't think they're trading him.
No. Why would they? I mean, they have very few players that they like. They're going to hold on to the ones that they have and try to build around them.
All right. Thanks, Neil. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Yes, I saw what Dez Bryant did yesterday.
So what now?
I saw Dez Bryant yesterday.
Dez Bryant. Well, I ain't worried about the Cowboys that much. Okay. I'm just worried about the Patriots. That's about it.
Good for you, Eldridge.
That's a good answer.
That's
right
a good answer right
there.
I thought
there. You were going to come in here and school us about how the Patriots should have taken Dez Bryant.
No. No, they should have took a lot more players, but evidently that's GM Bill decision, and GM Bill just ain't doing it.
Okay.
Not in my book. But my question is, first guy I got a chance to watch was Thursday night, and the Jets ran through us like I'm running down 85 in my 18-wheeler. And I just don't, you know, I can't understand why they do make coaches' decisions where you can set out two of your receivers and throw deep to somebody that's short and can't run. But my only thing is, like I said before on the other show, my problem is the linebacker. You know, Mayo's gone, and if they can't stop the run there, I don't know what we're going to do from there. Because I saw Denver play, and they gave San Francisco too much they can handle. And the running back, Williams, you know, that's faster than Bale was, whatever the future running back is,
I think they're in trouble against any team that can run the ball right now. They have to figure this out.
Well, even that can run the ball. If you play as poorly, it's going to be against anybody because they're going to smell blood in the water and say, we can be balanced. We can run the ball.
Right.
I think Denver's pretty good.
Yeah,
I do. I think Denver's pretty good. I know I get accused of
that's
saying
among
everybody
the three
stinks.
Three teams Paul thinks is pretty good.
But I get accused of saying everybody stinks. I think there are some teams coming up on this schedule that are going to be really tough for the Patriots, and I'm not downplaying, Green Bay, San Diego, Indy, Denver. Those are good teams. I just don't think as much of Chicago as. I wouldn't put that. This six-game stretch to me is a five-game stretch.
But all
Eric
is
eliminating
it's
Chicago.
The matchup.
No, this isn't Eric. I'm talking about about this six-game stretch. I mean, right. This is a team with a losing record. We're including that with teams that are at the top of the league. I don't think Chicago belongs in the same sentence as Green Bay
it
and Indianapolis and San Diego.
They've proven they don't.
I don't think anybody ever thought they were.
No, thank you. I agree with you.
I don't know.
They're just not very good.
Well, okay, I'm cutting ties with you. I think they have talent.
But that doesn't mean they're very good.
Right.
They do have talent.
Well, they are not very good, but they're not very good.
They do have talent, but they, I mean, the Jets have individually talented players. They're not a very good team.
Right.
And I think Chicago is very, a matter of fact, I saw the Jets dominate Chicago in the Meadowlands in week two and lose because Geno Smith just kept throwing the ball to the wrong team, including on a screen pass that got a return for a touchdown. Otherwise, they would have won the game. But they had like 200 more yards of offense. They were in the red zone six times and only got one score out of it. That's how you lose games. Matter of fact, that's how they lost to the Patriots, other than the turnovers.
Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
He's wound up today.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Paul, I agree with you. Most of the team sucks, but are we playing the Broncos in 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yep. In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks, yeah. And I will not sit here and tell you going into that game, that's a game the Patriots should win. The Broncos suck. I won't say that.
No, well,
you'd be a moron if
Denver's
you said
good.
That.
Yeah.
I think Denver might be the best team in the league right now because Seattle ain't getting it done over there. I think we could have beat Seattle if they were on our schedule. But as for the linebacker thing, I don't know if anyone called in about this before, but do you think we could get Dane Fletcher back? Because he's a backup over there in Tampa Bay, and he might still know our system, and he played middle linebacker with us.
But was he really a run stopper?
No.
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 I think you could probably get him back.
But that is the kind of guy, Justin, that I'm talking about that could help you. If Dane, I mean, I don't think much of Dane Fletcher, but he could help you because you don't have anything right now. You have undrafted rookies behind the two guys.
He could call out signals and stuff.
Yes, I agree with you. He would be better, I think, than Deontay Skinner or Ja'Garrett Davis, or you know those guys. Or if you want to bring Darius Fleming back off the practice squad, I think Fletcher's experience would make him a better fit for what you want to do. That doesn't mean that he would fix anything.
And maybe their experience with him. Like, knowing his warts.
Knowing what he can do.
Knowing his limitations, because he's a backup. He's not good. He's not going to suddenly make you run. But they might know his limitations and how to utilize him more than, they don't even have a book on their own guys right now. They don't know what they can and can't do and how they're going to screw up.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, but thank you, guys. You guys getting it done, as always, but... Take care.
Thanks,
all
Justin.
Right, thanks, Justin.
Getting it done.
Not a lot of our calls end like that. It's usually, Paul, you idiot. Ocho Cinco stinks.
All right, let's get to some of these emails,
hey,
all right?
Did he not save his money?
Yeah.
Like, why are you struggling
maybe
with
that,
CFL?
What's that, Evelyn, what's her name, Lozada. Maybe she took all her money.
Were they married for, like, not very long?
Yeah, but then he had that thing where he hit her and stuff.
Yeah, I think they're
he headbutted her. He didn't hit her.
Let's see. Liam writes in.
I apologize.
From Scotland.
Wonderful.
He says, now looking at the Pats this week, I was mildly satisfied but still doubtful. The positive? It was a win on a short week while losing Mayo and Ridley. I think this says a lot for our durability and versatility. The negative? Man, it still was the Jets, and we should have bowled them over. I agree by thinking the Bears will be a fist fight on Sunday due to the Bears losing to the Southern Fish. But, hey, I believe in our boys. Do you think Amendola will be a bigger part of this new set, or was it a one-game wonder?
Not either, really. I mean, I don't think he's going to suddenly be something, but I don't think he's going to be irrelevant.
But I think he'll...
He had chances
again,
to make plays
previously.
Again, they
might use him now as kick return.
But he's been on the field all year. He's you know, he had...
He played the same amount of plays in this game as he has
from penalty. You know, so he's been in opportunities to make some plays. I think he'll continue to have some opportunities to make some plays.
And I've been very defensive of him, but to Andy's point, he's had opportunities to make plays. He had an opportunity to make a play in the first half of that game and dropped it on the sideline. It was a very catchable ball that, you know, his kind of receiver with his reputation and his salary should catch.
Now they're equal because he had a very catchable touchdown that Brady missed him on. Couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
So now they're even.
Mike writes in, Andy, you need to watch the video again. Brady didn't dive. He stepped on one of the O-lineman's foot.
Dove.
I believe it was Solder.
Are we
and
talking
then
about after
dropped.
The Devy thing?
Dove.
I know it looked bad because he waited a half second to fall after stepping on the guy's foot, but that's Brady being Brady these days and falling before he gets hurt.
Dove.
This is not a knock on him. Mike in San Diego.
Dove.
Wow, Andy's mad.
I thought he
tripped.
I am not mad.
Andy's mad.
Say it again, Fred. We missed it a little. I thought he tripped.
I thought he tripped up a little.
Yeah, and as the caller said, went down 3 seconds after.
Pat writes in.
Tongue was firmly in cheek on that email. I like that.
Pat from Agawam. It's funny. It seems like every week there's a new set of worries and or concerns regarding our Patriots. My weekly worry digest will focus on the middle of the defense. Do we have to give up assets and bring someone in to shore up the middle? Or is the answer something as simple as canning the 3-4 alignment? Most every game we play a primary 3-4, our defense in one fashion or another struggles. I don't oppose the Patriots going out and adding someone like Paul Posnucci, but he's out, if he can replace Mayo's production. My main concern is the 3-4. Can Bill just let it go for this year? If he wants to bring in the personnel to do it in the offseason, to run it, that's fine. But it looks like it's failing miserably. Do you guys agree?
Yes. I don't want to see any 3-4.
I don't even know if they're in a 3-4, right?
They're not.
To be honest.
Somewhat.
Really.
Yeah.
I think they're hurting either way.
Yeah.
If you're going to go with Chandler Jones as a down lineman, then I don't want to see any part of the 3-4. Yeah. But I don't think that's what they did last week in particular. But I think they need more bodies. To answer the first part of the question, yeah, I think they need to go out and get some help.
And we've talked about this before, but some of the guys like Chris Jones and Dominic Easley aren't suited to be run stuffers. So even the guys you have, whether they're playing well or not, healthy or whatever, they're not Silver Salinga. They're not Vince Wilfork. They're not a stout run stuffer.
But maybe with Wilfork and Walker and then Salinga when he gets back, those two with, you know, Jones and Ninkovich as regular defensive ends, but now I still think you have a linebacker problem. No matter which way you slice it, you have a linebacker problem.
Sure.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalada, give me a linebacker, defensive tackle, maybe a running back before the trade deadline, and I won't complain.
Okay.
All three? Or one
just,
of them?
We'll just go to Walmart. We'll just pick them up on the shelves.
Is it Bill Belichick or Billy Bean?
Furthermore, why is it that as soon as people, media in general, talk about Brady and his rings and records, it's a team effort, but when they talk about Manning, it's his accomplishments, rarely is the team mentioned. Tough stretch coming up. This is where we'll see.
You're not listening.
Where we're really made of. Well, with Manning, there aren't any team.
Can you read that again? With
Bill, they did win the Super Bowl
once,
and he went to two others.
Oh, that was on Manning.
Yeah, Manning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who did you think it was on?
No one.
Well, I don't know. You know.
Well, Fred, you had a revelation upstairs.
What was that?
About the Manning Brady thing about who the better quarterback was.
I think.
I'm going to have to step out for this one.
Brady is the overall better player.
Okay. Who's the better quarterback?
In pure passer, the better passer.
That's not what you said. You said quarterback.
Well, okay, I misspoke. The pure passer is Manning. The pure passer is Manning. He's opened up the secret to completing passes, obviously. I mean, he makes it look really easy.
And that's the job of the quarterback,
yeah,
to complete passes.
He makes it look really easy. And, whatever that is, the adjustments.
When you say a pure passer, you mean his accuracy, not necessarily the way he throws the football.
No. I mean, he throws a
terrible looking
ball.
He's not even in the top 10 of that.
But he's unlocked the secret to completing passes and making it and getting guys wide open.
Apparently, that's the phrase of the day, how he can kind of praise Manning without not.
But he unlocked the secret as if there's some, like, odd code that needs. I mean, everybody is
guy run, you throw, he catch.
Do you think he gets more credit than any other quarterback for being so having such a grasp of his offense?
Well, yeah, like everybody deserves it, though.
No, do you think he gets more credit than because a generation ago, a lot more quarterbacks were either calling their own plays or had more leeway to run their offenses.
For example, Rex Ryan 2 weeks ago said, Peyton Manning may be the best offensive coordinator in football. He just happens to play quarterback.
Right.
I don't think they say that about a lot of people. I don't think they say it about Brady.
You know, what I would like to know.
That's my point.
What Brady's I would like to know about that is how much of that is accurate. How much of that is deserved because he actually is doing it. Eric's right. He's given credit for doing that. Doing what quarterbacks did 20 years ago, he's given credit for that. I don't know, A, if he is, or B, if anybody else is.
But even like the Demaryius Thomas thing, like he reprogrammed me and he made me what I am.
Right.
I mean, I believe that. I believe that more so than he's like calling plays.
Oh, I think he's a savant. He
certainly gets blamed for it when he checks to runs and third downs, and he's always getting blamed for that.
But I can't recall a player getting so much credit for being not just a player, great player, but basically a great coach and a player.
But I think he deserves it. I think
he might deserve it.
I think he looks at those Polaroids and can make something out of it that very few other people can.
He might. It's just it's remarkable.
Yeah, it is.
It really is remarkable because you don't really see that in any sport, really, that a player gets that much freedom to do things and is so good at it.
Yeah.
You know, like a player coming in and, like Andy just said, coming in and saying he got reprogrammed or whatever.
You know what's really amazing?
That's supposed to be a coach's job.
Correct.
Not a player's job. And if he's able to do both, that's
Brady reprograms him too, but they,
you know, see,
stink.
People think that, like, when Manny puts that helmet on, he takes it off, he's got that red thing. Uh-huh. That's actually the microchip starting to come through his forehead. That's in there.
You know what's really
like Darth
amazing
Vader with the helmet, right?
Is that he's been better with Denver than he was with Indy. I think that's incredible.
But isn't that the game?
When it looks like he was,
but
done.
He also had a serious injury.
Yeah.
I know, but.
And physically.
I didn't think physically he'd be able to do these kind of things he's still doing now. I
mean, he doesn't have half of what he had.
So that it's all passing. It's no defense.
Not that much.
You're not allowed to touch anybody. We've had a re-emphasis of that, blah, blah, blah.
We had the re-emphasis in 2004.
He takes advantage of all that better than anyone else, right?
I just think it's amazing that his numbers are so much better with Denver.
If you had to take one guy right now, who would you take? This week.
I'd still take Brady. I'm loyal to Brady.
If I had one game to win.
Whose receivers do I get?
I just said you have to take one guy.
Oh, no, no.
On what team?
No team. No team.
Oh, you don't know.
Then Brady.
I would
without
take,
a doubt.
I would take Brady, too.
Without
Manning
a doubt.
For one game,
for
I, would
little
take,
thing.
I would take Brady for one game.
Absolutely.
Like, let's just
control
pretend
the free world tomorrow.
Hypothetically speaking, you are going to be given a team on Monday. You don't know the team's strengths, weaknesses, personnel,
Brady,
opponent, anything.
Brady. Right?
You're going to take a quarterback, and then behind closed door is going to be your team. I'd take Manning.
I'd take Brady.
I'd take Manning.
But only
part
for
of
one,
what we just
only
said.
For one
the way
game.
You put, coach him up for that one.
The way you put that makes me think a little bit more. Because if I get equally terrible weapons, I worry about Brady in the first game.
Right.
And I don't worry about Manning.
By week 17,
it doesn't
Brady
matter who he throws to.
Exactly.
It just doesn't.
I'm taking Manning under my little scenario.
But if
long
I had,
term, if you told me for a decade I'm going to deal, I'd take Brady.
If I had to have one game to win for control of everything, I would take Brady over Manning.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Control of the world.
Yeah, control of the free world tomorrow.
Tim in Baltimore says Bill Belichick and the Patriots currently have 13.
And hope they don't call it a playoff game.
They currently have 13 consecutive winning seasons. If they eventually break Dallas's record of 20 consecutive winning seasons, do you think that will be more impressive than Manning's touchdown record,
yep,
whatever it ends up being?
Yep. I think that'd be more impressive than us winning World War II.
Okay, so you're just going to be a jerk.
If
no wonder
wait,
they
can
don't
you,
like
can
you.
Can you say the beginning
EI
of that? If
it's,
we break,
it's unbelievable. You're just, you know.
Can, if we break Dallas's record of 20 consecutive, but this is, what does this have to do with Brady now?
No. Would that be more impressive than Manning's touchdown record?
I mean, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, I would say it's pretty impressive.
I think, though.
And especially if Brady does it. If this is a Brady-Manning thing, if he stays around for seven more years.
Oh, it'll be an, if Brady stays for
the
whole.
He'll be 45 and win every year.
If Brady stayed for the whole thing, then I would absolutely say it is an individual accomplishment. That's more impressive.
Right.
No question.
Ridiculous. I mean, that's like Cal Ripken, but being really, really good the whole time. Not having any down phases.
Dan of Virginia, in a John Gruden voice, Fred likes to call Manning the football whisperer because he's cracked the code. It's true.
But why didn't you use a Gruden voice?
I like to call him the football whisperer.
This was like a play.
Because he cracked the code.
He gave you what you were supposed to do.
Austin and Toronto, how can this discussion terrible take place knowing how badly Manning has choked in the playoffs? That has to neutralize his regular season success. No, I still think Montana was better than Manning. He's a stat machine in the ultimate team game. It boils down to making the clutch throw under extreme pressure. How many times has Manning failed to do that?
What's uglier? A snap over a quarterback's head to start a game or a safety in the end zone to start a game?
I can't figure him out anymore.
Yeah,
Fred. You know what he is? Just whatever you say,
right,
it's going to be the opposite.
Yeah.
Now I know why he hates Felger so much. Felger stole his act.
Yep.
Hey.
Felger stole your act.
That's not right. If he's making that kind of money off my shtick.
But we have more listeners.
Not than Felger.
Well, not than Felger.
Oh, no. But what were they saying? You were telling me that, who was it, Fourier was saying we have 5 listeners.
He was ripping your podcast.
That just shows how ignorant they are about what's going on in the world today. I mean, we have more listeners than them, and people have to make an effort to listen to us. They have to download it to their iPhone.
You can't just ride around in the car doing errands.
Right, right. The only reason they have any listeners is because people are stuck in their cars. You know? No one turns them on unless they're stuck in a car. We have people listening to us on their commute, in the gym, at home. Everywhere, at work,
in
your cubicle.
Very big in Europe.
Yeah.
We're global.
Asia.
And it's real numbers, too. It's not
Australia.
Like we think Australia. From this diary we might have these numbers. These are validated numbers.
We
know
South America.
How many people are
right
listening.
Yeah, we do okay, but we could do better.
Unlike, you know. So this little podcast does okay.
It does.
Yeah.
The little podcast that could.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it, Freddie?
Yeah. Those who make fun of us eventually
join
copy
us.
Yeah.
Ignorance is no excuse.
That's right. Jeff, and formerly from Pennsylvania, I don't know where he's from.
Pennsylvania.
Or maybe he just misspelled from and put
form. Wait, does it say formerly or form?
Form Pennsylvania.
And obviously it's supposed from. To. You added like.
Looking at Denver at this
bleeping
point.
Bleeping moron.
Unbelievable.
Looking at Denver at this point.
And I can't believe people are listening to the podcast.
And knowing how insanely competitive.
Poirier was right.
And knowing how insanely competitive John Elway is, doesn't it feel like they're making a real effort to win a Super Bowl with the offseason acquisitions they've made and their game, and their game planning?
Blasphemous.
Why does it feel like they're better, a better team this year, and we're holding on to a thread? Why do we sink so much resources into players who seem injury prone? It's been a while since I've felt like the team has really made a major move that put them in a position to win the Super Bowl.
Like sign Darrell Revis? I mean, who is this? I don't care where he's from. This is a terrible email.
You sound like the woman on the Jake from State Farm commercial. Who is this?
Well, and this person sounds hideous because this person is a moron.
To sum up
my
question.
Don't finish the email. It's stupid. It's stupid.
It's one more
sentence. It feels like the Broncos are trying to win games and the Patriots aren't. Their game plans and their moves were to win games. Does everything Bill Belichick do work out? No. Do I think he tries to win games? Yes. I think he legitimately tries to win football games and championships. Not that John Elway and John Fox do and Belichick doesn't.
Do you think he does it more so with the idea of remaining, you know, on an even keel moving forward, though?
I think he preaches responsibility in everything he does. I do. I mean, I think you can say that in the GTFB defense as opposed to the Rex Ryan go get him defense. Everything is sort of responsible and level-headed and even keel and you know, we're not going to make the
not
mistakes. Everybody else is going to make the mistakes, whether it's on the field, off the field, in the boardroom. And I think that is his, if you had one overlying philosophy, it's that. It's let everybody else screw up and we'll win. We're going to be smooth and steady. So steady as she goes.
React, don't overreact.
Yeah.
Liam in Philly, I think we should trade for Adrian Peterson.
I do, too.
Teams loaded up in the box for him last year, and he's still got huge numbers. I think his situation got blown out of proportion. He's been
we're starting it. Wow. He's not here yet, and we're making the excuses.
He's been remorseful, and I believe him that he is actually sorry. I thought that if the Vikings said they would suspend him for 6 games, everything would have blown over. Do you think if we traded for him and said he served his 6 games, then everything would be okay? Do you believe that he should never play in the NFL again?
I do not believe he should never play in the NFL again. I think he deserves a second shot. I do not believe he'll get that shot here. I do not think the New England Patriots would acquire Adrian Peterson.
I don't think so either.
I just don't.
Do you especially think, after what Robert said about
right?
Do you
Ray
think
Rice?
That was sarcastic
and everything that
in
we
any
believe
way?
In philosophically as an organization, the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Mm. You know, is about helping children and people in need, and I just I don't buy. And how is he remorseful? I've missed like all this remorse.
Yeah, I.
He's fighting it. He's taking drugs prior to like arraigning.
Do you think that
that's not remorseful?
Right.
Yeah.
I thought there was some sarcasm to that email.
Oh,
do you think that was serious?
Oh, I don't know.
Am I like you? Am I missing sarcasm?
Fighting,
lashing out?
And maybe it never really got sarcastic. I was kind of the way it started off. You know, he's been remorseful and all that stuff. I thought it was coming to a punchline, but it never really came.
I think he really wants him.
I think Ray Rice.
Paul, I think what he sees is
he really
Stephen Ridley's hurt, and we need a running back.
Yeah, no thanks for either one of those guys. But I do agree with Andy. They both deserve the opportunity to play in the NFL again once they serve whatever their punishment is through the legal system. But what also deserves to happen is none of the 32 teams deserve.
They're not required or obligated
to sign him.
Right.
And I think it would be a good thing if that happened.
If for once,
the owners saved themselves, protected themselves from themselves, and it was no collusion or anything, and they just decided to do the right thing because it was the right thing.
Send a message.
He's destined for Dallas, in my opinion.
Maybe 5 years from now, if you keep doing that, you can sort of get some of these bad guys out of the league and you know, have a better image. I mean, I know it's not hurting them financially, but it's really, as Robert said, it's a real turnoff.
I say he plays for the Cowboys very, very soon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Could you see this team? Let's say that this Dallas team wins another couple and they're like 8-1 and then DeMarco Murray goes down.
Which could happen.
I mean, I'm with Andy 1,000%. Right around the time that Ray Rice is going to be done, supposedly this is going to happen in like another week or so.
Oh, I meant Peterson.
No, but I'm saying Ray Rice is going to be reinstated.
Yeah.
Like now, according to Chris Mortensen over the weekend.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice, I could see them signing. You know, I don't think Peterson's going to be available.
Well, that's the – but I'm
but
talking
Ray Rice
long-term.
Is going to be available.
Right. I think next year – because I think one of the benefits is you can sell it to your audience easier, because I think there's a larger group of people in Texas that are probably siding with Adrian. That's my kid, and I choose how to discipline my kid. And I think it's a little different than trying to sell it in New England or other places around the league.
Stephen Killeen, crisis averted. 5-2, one of the best records in the NFL. I'm trusting Fred to be the bastion of hope. He always is, because the following are still major red flags for me. 1, third down production on both sides of the ball. The Jets did not punt until the third quarter. Holy smokes and jinx. What's jinx?
Isn't that the girl on Scooby-Doo says
Hokey
that?
Hokey smokes.
Didn't she say jinx at the end?
I don't know.
No, zoinks is what Shaggy says at the end.
Oh, I thought the girl Jinkies. With glasses felt
Velma.
Said
jinkies.
Velma.
Jinkies?
Velma.
All right. Anyway, 2, protecting, Solder protecting Brady's blindside. Is he just overmatched week after week or just unable to execute his assignment?
Yeah.
It's 1 or 2 plays a game. 3, middle.
He's actually getting better, I think.
I thought he was better this game. The trouble came when Cannon came in
right.
for him.
Which we still have to do. Got to get him his letter, as
he
Paul
played,
said.
He played 3 plays at left tackle and 3 plays at right tackle, and those were among the 6 worst plays.
3, middle-of-the-field defense. We have been gashed up the middle, both in the air and on the ground. I know we may have some help coming, but but is it still a major red flag?
When you get gashed, you got some help coming.
Yeah. Running game
is
great.
You worried about that?
Sure.
Huh.
We're worried about the running game.
No, I was talking about the passing in the middle.
We'll be fine.
Number 1.
Running game is Gray the back. I know Andy saw it, saw what I did there. Is Gray the back?
I didn't see what you did there, Steve. Yeah. I'd like to. I bet it was good, but I missed it.
Is Gray the new black?
Again, glad to be 5-2 with a 5-game winning streak, but my heart will not be able to take another game like the Jets. Who had a 5-game winning streak?
Who's what? What's that now?
He said, glad to be 5-2 with a 5-game winning streak.
Yeah, we have a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work.
3-5.
But that's in Patriots land. That's, I mean, you know, 4 games in 18 days, you know, 5-game winning streak.
Keep up the great work, and can WEI not broadcast their production cues? Patriots Web Radio, better broadcast, check.
What are their production cues?
I don't know.
The live stream on Mondays?
I think you hear Mondays. Them off air or something like that when they're...
Is that
break?
True?
I don't know.
I think
I'd have to listen.
You
to know,
like standby.
I think you
back,
get the
like
raw feed on the
podcast online when you listen to the stream. You hear everything.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Anthony's in Naples. Hey,
go
Anthony.
Back to the phone.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time no talk.
Yeah,
hey.
Where the hell you been,
Anthony?
I don't know. I've been around, I guess. Married, busy. I can't sit by the phone and call you guys and. To be honest with you, the callers just everywhere kind of pissed me off, so I just don't want to add to that. But, I don't know how you guys do it. Just like the phone calls are just brutal. Some of these people bring nothing to the table and just...
Unlike you.
Other callers check.
Yes, other callers check. You know, and I don't know what's worse on, you know, on... 98.5 or you guys. But you guys, it's always the same caller, so you almost expect it to be bad. So, I don't know. But anyway.
Double
you
check.
Gotta, you got to listen to the post-game show. Much better callers there. Right, Andy?
But let me ask you guys. Did you really take this recent win with the Denver over the 49ers? What do you guys really think about that win? Do you think
I thought they took advantage of a very banged up 49ers team, but that doesn't mean that they weren't impressive.
Well, and that's my thing. Everywhere everybody's talking about, what's the way they handled the 49ers? But you do realize the two middle linebackers, that is Bowman.
It wasn't really the 49ers. I agree with you.
Exactly. They didn't have Alden Smith. Two of their centers go down, so they were in chaos. Like, it was chaos on the offensive line.
Yeah, that said, it was a 42-10 game. I mean, it wasn't like they squeaked by 4 points.
Yeah,
I mean that. There is something to be said. I mean, you got a team that was banged up, and you obliterated it.
You
I
did
mean,
what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean the game was never competitive.
Yeah, but I guess the one thing with Denver, I don't know.
is it me? Do they bore me? Like, they bore me. Do they kind of bore you sometimes just watching them play offense? I always
not
feel like,
really. I mean, I think it's amazing.
Wide
receiver screens, like every other.
But they execute it to such with such.
But what
precision.
About the shots that they take? They set up these shots, and every week they seem like they're there. I mean,
and you know, Manning just floats. It seems like it takes forever to get there, and the guy's still open.
And he always seems to catch it like directly in stride.
Right.
It's usually a dumb team that dares to play a man up, and then Peyton takes a shot. Like, I don't know. I just every time I watch him, I mean, I feel like I watch the same thing over and over again with the Denver team.
And they,
well, you do.
You do.
It's kind of like watching the 07 Patriots.
So are you going to sit back in a zone and let Peyton Manning just absolutely pick you apart?
No, not necessarily. I just, like I said, I was just asking a question. You don't have to attack me.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'm just. We're just talking. I mean, we're just. I don't find. I mean, I find. I know that people. Some people really like great defense, and I do too. I'm kind of with Andy on this. I don't think there are a lot of great defenses left.
No.
This is a great offense, and I do enjoy watching it. And listen, that doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy watching Seattle smack him in the mouth last year. You know, and shutting down that great offense, because I found both of those things. You know, the dichotomy of the offense against the defense was pretty interesting to watch.
Yep. All right, Anthony, thanks for the call. Andrew writes in, hey, guys, I just wanted to say that you guys are so much more entertaining and much funnier than EEI.
Obviously.
I have to drive an hour to go to my university, and you guys make that drive so much shorter. So I just wanted to thank you for that. Also, and keep up the good work. Also, I wanted to know how I buy you guys lunch. You guys deserve it.
Kevin, cue that up.
Kevin, get on that.
By the way, promotion there would have meant a little more if he didn't say to the university. That makes me think he's either in Canada or...
Who cares where he's from?
Well, that means he doesn't really know EEI.
Brian in Essex, I stopped listening to the entire Felger show after the Uno favorite personality debacle. Sad, pathetic little men who can't handle two guys from another show being more popular than them.
Oh, that was the Comcast.
Yeah, that was actually
Comcast.
That wasn't Felger.
When Andy and I dominated a contest.
We ruined that little game.
Thanks to you, our loyal listeners.
Well, it was. It had nothing to do with us. It had to do with the power of PFW Nation.
Right. That shows you how many people we have that are listening.
And when we choose to, what do you call it, Fred? Mobilize?
Mobilize.
Them? When we choose to mobilize them, everybody else needs to watch the hell out, because we will take you down, bitches.
John in South Carolina, with all respect to Manning, he's an amazing quarterback. There's no doubt about it.
But.
And I do think there are many ways he is better than Brady, but I would still take Brady if I was starting a team. Brady has won with chicken crap before. I'm not sure I can say that about Manning. It's very hard to judge Manning. He has constantly been surrounded by great talent. I don't know how he would react in Brady's world. I look at it this way. The only time Brady had receivers in the level of Harrison Wayne or Thomas, he went undefeated in the regular season and broke the TD record. How would Manning do behind Brady's offensive line this season? Would we be seeing the Manning face, or would he still be breaking records? If you drop Brady into the Denver
offense,
he was kind of
behind that offensive line last year.
Do you think they would be better, worse, or stay the same?
I agree with that whole email, with the exception of the stuff around him. I think that the most overrated aspect is that Manning has had everything around him. He's had better receivers than Brady. He hasn't had better everything else than Brady. And I think that's often overlooked. As a matter of fact, I think the biggest disparity between what the two of them have had is head coach. There's nobody that Manning has ever played for that could even compare to Belichick.
That's true.
And that's an enormous advantage. That's an absolutely enormous advantage for Brady. The rest of it, I think that individually there's some things that Manning does better. I'll take Brady.
Now, let me ask you a question. Since we're the one thing Manning always did have was a number one receiver, whether it was Harrison or Wayne. Are those guys good enough so that you would consider, you know, like now, we say when Gronk's on, Brady's good. The rest of the offense falls into place.
Exactly.
Are those guys good enough? I mean, are those guys Gronk-esque in that role, that he always had one of those to sort of feed everything off of?
Do you think that?
Well, I don't
know, I'm not sure what you're asking.
If you're a believer that Brady's better and that Manning always had the better, I think you can argue that he, you know, for example, I would say Calvin Johnson is a, as Fred would put it, transformational player. Are Harrison and Wayne transformational players? If you have them, everybody else is going to be fine because they're so good and defenses have to roll to them and double them and all that.
I certainly don't think that with Harrison.
I don't really think of it either.
I think Wayne is a great – I think they're both great players, but I don't think they're transformational players.
I would agree.
I don't either.
I think that Manning had as much to do with making those guys great as anything else, and now Wayne is still good because he's got another great quarterback playing.
He's not back, by the way.
No,
I've been watching him run.
He's been really bad the last couple. He's been really bad the last couple of weeks. There's even a little hitch in the get up kind of thing. Yeah, he got off
to
a good start in the last couple of weeks. He's done nothing.
But I'm not even talking about production. I'm talking about purely watching him run. And because we've talked about Gronk and his, how does he look and the brace and the this. What, I don't know if he ran an end around or if it was just a short pass that he turned up field. And he looked like a guy coming off an ACL.
He looked like me playing flag football. Rob, he did not look that bad.
Rob
in Ormond, Florida, the one and only key to stopping the run for the Patriots is not adding personnel. It's for the Patriots to score early and play with a lead. Pretty sure this is possible and probably their only shot.
You mean like a minute 29 into the game? Because that's how long it took the Patriots to take a 7-0 lead the other day.
Let's see.
Stunned silence.
I'm not even listening.
So, I mean, that's a really negative view. That is, the run defense can't be fixed. Right. That's that view.
You got to play with a lead.
Well, but you always want to play with a lead.
Well, not enough to make him pass all the time.
No, I know, but you can't.
I think that's what he's saying.
I know that's what he's saying, but how many teams do that? How many teams
Patriots
have a
used to.
When they were championship caliber.
In 07.
Oh, did you hear what he said? When they were championship caliber. Apparently the Patriots stink. Wow.
They stink?
Paul's opinion.
They
stink.
Deafening
in its silence.
Wait a minute. They,
that's sports statement.
But again.
When news breaks.
I'm telling you, Felger stole his act. Yeah. It's like you take one fact and another fact and you make it this. That
I did spend that year or two working with him on 890 when he was a nobody.
Because I don't.
Son of a bitch, he's my water boy. He took my notebook.
Because I don't think that their championship caliber means that I think they stink.
Well, you think everybody stinks. And so therefore, if I remove them from championship caliber.
I don't think the Patriots stink, Andy.
So the Patriots
stink.
The 5-2 Patriots, no stinky. The 4-3 Steelers.
4-3 Steelers. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So we know the cutoff. You got to have 5 wins to know stinky. Oh,
I'm sorry, man. But Pittsburgh has been really bad this year. Cleveland, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Cleveland, and Houston. I'm sorry. That's not an impressive 4-3.
Let's go back to the phones.
It's just not.
And they're lucky to be 4-3.
Big Al's
the Bengals,
Georgia,
big
hey
win. In a couple weeks, we'll tell you it was a crappy win, but the Bengals, big win.
I don't think he cares for it.
He doesn't care for it.
I don't think I care for the Steelers.
He doesn't care for the National Football League.
I'll tell you who I do care for. On the Steelers, who's a pretty good player, is that Le'Veon Bell. I think he's better than I thought he was.
You think? He's not better than I thought he was. I thought he was good. He's more athletic. He's becoming a Matt Forte. He can catch. You watch him the other night, Fred? He's supposed to be a plotter.
What's up, Al?
Hey, fellas. Look, I guess we can delete my suggestion from last week about Paul Posluszny. I guess he went on IR over the weekend.
Yes, he tore his pec.
That's all right. Fred didn't want him anyway.
That's right. He couldn't hold the jock strap, I believe.
That's right.
Correct.
And they're like,
but I don't know why you would want to. I think that's something you'd want to keep your hands off. But,
fair point.
You know, but anyways, listen, these next 6 games, obviously, has been said a million times, are going to set us up for the postseason. And
story of the season.
I would be thrilled if we got through it at 3-3. And, you know, you got Matthew Stafford and Jay Cutler, both these big-armed quarterbacks that are capable of having great days or lousy days. Those are just unpredictable to me. You could win both of them. You could lose both of them. Hopefully you win both of them and you split the other 4 against the, you know, the superstar quarterbacks that are more consistent. And, you know, you end up at 4-2. But I would be happy at 3-3, that's for sure.
Okay.
How would you be, Freddie, with those 6 games?
Coming out of it 8-5. Then you run the table. End
you're
up 11.
You're going to win the last 3.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, you better hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a gimme.
You got the last 3. You got 2 of them at home, and the only road game is at the Jets, and they're going to be out of it. By then, they might not have their head coach by then. I mean.
But I'm still sticking with 13-3, so we can only, lose one more game.
Now, that's a little optimistic. I try to keep my glass of Sam Adams half full, but that
Fred's is empty because he downed it.
I think I'd be very happy coming out of that 3-3.
Yeah, and I think 4-2 is a very legitimate possibility. I do.
Well, we'll see. I think if you get to, if you get to 11-5, you're certainly looking at a good record that should set you. It's probably not a first round bye type of record. But if you do get lucky and you get to 12-4 somehow with taking 4 out of 6 and then the last three, that gets you 7 on top of 5. You're at 12-4.
A lot of math.
12-4 should be enough to get a first round bye.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
You got a chance. It depends on who you lose to.
Right.
More likely.
You lose to Denver and Indy, and 12-4 is probably not going to get you a bye. And you could go 4-2, lose to Denver and Indy, and
depends on who you lose to.
More likely 4-2 or 2-4.
I like these.
2-4.
Eric,
well, he's been very.
This is
negative.
A really tough.
I'm going to say 4. More likely, I'm going to say 4-2.
But is it tough for the other teams that are playing the Patriots?
Yes,
sure. But okay. I think those other teams are better.
Right, so you think it's tougher for the Patriots?
Oh, but it's not tough necessarily. I don't know all their schedules combined, but the Patriots have a stretch that is tough. That is not.
You're just taking one at a time, Andy.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
It's actually a tough stretch.
I don't think Bill is talking about this 6-game stretch.
Well,
in
you know what?
Room.
You got at least two of them that come as a pair because you go to Green Bay and then you go right to San Diego. So that makes them a pair.
Why?
Because they're tied together. You didn't return home. It's not the same. It's
so
not
what?
Every week is the same. It's different.
Sure it is.
No, it isn't. You're full of it.
You get off that plane, it's a new week. It's a whole new week, new opponent.
Ridiculous, you idiots.
Why is that idiotic?
Because they
that's
are
the way
sum.
They operate.
They're a lump sum. Why?
Andy
knows
he was a coach, he would do exactly one game at a time. He knows
no,
that.
No,
if I was being felt.
No,
but I actually believe that they do that. I'm not even making fun of it.
I
think that that's how they operate. I think that's one
of
the biggest parts of their success.
They
don't look at
it'd
it like
that. It'd be irresponsible to do anything else.
It would be
irresponsible to say anything else.
And do.
Now, you actually think every one of them has no idea the next schedule.
I didn't say that.
Damn, we got the Broncos? Son of a, we just beat the Bears. Who knew that was coming? Oh my God!
But I don't
Manning
think,
after Cutler? That is just not
but
fair.
There's another
vulgarism.
Who made this
another
schedule?
Vulgarism.
Yeah, right.
They take it 1 week at a time. That means that they don't know they're playing the Broncos
in
2 weeks.
Right.
That's
they
the
know
same thing.
They have a
of course
6-game
they know
slate
that.
Here that is.
I know, but they don't look at it
stretch.
As this daunting six games right now. They're looking at Chicago right now.
I was just going to go to Paul in
they're
LA,
human
but
beings.
I think he hung up because
they are human beings.
This was going to go on forever.
God.
You're really cantankerous lately.
No.
What is
lately?
Is this all because.
No,
of,
I'm not.
Is this all because of EEI?
Is it?
No, what?
Is this all
you're acting
because
strange.
Minahan was yelling at you, John
yeah,
Dennis was yelling
different
at you.
Than usual.
Well, John
Fourier
Dennis,
was yelling at
the
you.
The Dennis thing was a joke. They made fun of us for saying Miniman, mainly you, because that was your thing. But and then John Dennis calls me Indy Fart. I mean, I've never heard that before, John. I mean, that'd be like me calling him a drunk. It's so cliche
but,
that.
What is this? Oh, what is this behavior
now he's a
about?
Drunk?
You John
have,
Dennis?
You have more guys being drunks now?
Did they tell
pretty
you that
sure
you were
John
auditioning
Dennis.
Or something?
Pretty
or
sure.
What's
for what?
The, why? I don't know
pretty
for
sure
what.
He says.
For what?
Why are you acting this way?
What way? I've been acting this way forever.
No, this is a little bit over
the
top.
No, it isn't.
Here.
So don't try to paint this as something.
Trying real hard.
Oh, you mother.
Trying real hard.
No.
Yeah.
I do like this girl at LSU, though. Yeah.
Not that one?
Yeah, I kind of like her.
Oh,
no, this
one?
I kind of like.
Oh, I thought
she looks like she's 12.
That's what he likes about it.
Oh. Well, you could be right.
Let's go to Rich in New Jersey.
I don't know what I like, but
Casey
when I like
Smith.
Me, I like you.
Hey, Rich.
I like how she spells Casey, too.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I'm like, she's 12.
Listen, I was sitting doing sit-ups in the gym earlier.
I don't know how to spell it.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You were doing sit-ups in the gym? Yeah.
Fred's not familiar with those. What are those?
I wasn't able to hear if you guys had any legitimate trade rumors or anything.
We do not have any legitimate trade rumors.
LeGarrette Blount, illegitimate? Sure. We think LeGarrette Blount would be a nice guy.
We think
to
running backs, linebackers, defensive linemen, possibly. They should be in the market for. But
I'm going Blount.
It's hard to know who's available.
He's bringing the Oldsmobile back to Foxborough, the high ride.
I mean,
thing.
I didn't hear anybody talking about Percy Harvin being available until he was traded.
Here's something to look at. I mean, Itzik from the Jets said that one of the reasons they were able to pull off that Harvin trade was because he has relationships with people back in Seattle. Who might the Patriots have a good relationship with?
Tampa.
Where they could do something.
Atlanta.
Philadelphia.
Atlanta, Tampa.
Right.
Steven Jackson.
So maybe we should look at those teams.
Blowing it up in Atlanta. They're going to fire the head coach.
Steven Jackson is a legitimate possibility.
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Woo. He's done like yesterday's dinner.
Oh, come on.
Do you watch, like,
he stinks, Fred.
Do you watch, like, any games at all?
I he didn't do anything.
You
last
don't want
week.
LeGarrette Blount.
Hurt?
You don't
I,
want,
I,
wait,
he's
wait.
Always hurt.
I did see a game earlier this year that Steven Jackson,
actually
it was a night
that
game.
Game. I watched that game too.
But you
he
don't,
looked really good in that game.
But you don't want LeGarrette Blount, who came here last year and averaged 5 yards a carry, but you want Steven Jackson.
Those were skewed because of those two rain games.
Okay.
Wait, now, you're denigrating a guy. He could be back, so be careful.
3.7 a carry for Steven Jackson. 77 carries, 285
yards.
He's
a little hurt right now.
He's always a little hurt.
First of all, he's always hurt. Second of all, he's 110. So he ain't going to get better.
He looked good that night that I saw him.
He did. I agree with you because I saw that game. That was early in the year, maybe week two.
Right. Thank God for that because he'd probably be averaging 2.7 a carry if it weren't for that big game.
He thinks everybody sings.
Steven Jackson had a great career. I mean, can we agree?
I think the caller wants to go.
Can we agree that he's not Steven Jackson anymore?
Chicken or what?
What's that, Rich?
I was just asking my mom if we have chicken here.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. Thanks for the call.
What kind of chicken? I like chicken.
I didn't care for that.
Why?
Meatloaf. Ma! Let's go to Matt in Wisconsin. Hey, Matt.
Hi. So, yeah, I was just wondering, I wanted you guys' opinion. You know, Tom Brady's pushing 40, you know, and certainly probably doesn't have another 6 to 8 years left in him.
Don't ask him. Don't tell him that.
Three or four, though.
Did you just run up the steps?
Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted by Belichick as Brady's heir apparent? Is he that good?
Yes.
Or do you think the dynasty falls with Tom Brady and Belichick's fall?
Well, it could fall with Tom Brady, but I think that Garoppolo was intending to be the heir.
Yeah. No, the but that
those
doesn't
two
mean
things
the dynasty.
Are the same.
Yeah, he is the heir apparent. Right. Whether he's good enough to continue a dynasty,
I don't know that,
and turn it into 20 years without a, I have no idea.
Yeah,
and it may or may not be with Belichick that whole time.
Matt, are you okay, or do you need to have a defibrillator?
You just breathing heavy, or
should we send a paramedic?
I just got done running.
Oh nice. Fred is not familiar. What is that?
Just again, but he just cracks himself up. It's just unbelievable.
So,
what position you play?
I play tight end.
How old are you?
I am 22.
So you play in college?
I do. I play for a Division III team. Well, I'll never see an NFL field. But
Whitewater?
You know. Where do you play?
Wisconsin Whitewater, the guy with like 100 wins in 102 games.
Eau Claire?
Nah, I play for UW.
Okay, all right, thank you. He's throwing up now.
He apparently has CTE.
No, it's UW, wow. And he doesn't want to say the other.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think he wants people to think he played for UW.
No, he said Division III.
No, he was joking. He was making a joke.
I don't think
he played for anybody. He probably doesn't play for anybody.
Did you see that guy, the Whitewater coach?
No.
He reached 100 wins faster than anybody ever. It's literally like 110 games or something. And his winning percentage in the playoffs is like .976. He's like 12-1 in the Division III playoff. Like, ridiculous. Why is he still there? Why is he there long enough to churn out?
What's the guy from St. John? Is it St. John's, the one in Minnesota that won like 8 million games?
I don't know.
I figured John
because
would
didn't
know.
Didn't one of the recent couldn't coaches at Wisconsin
couldn't get him interested?
Wasn't he a lower Wisconsin promotion?
Brett Bielema?
Was he a?
He may have been.
I believe he was.
A system.
So they got this guy that's Whitewater.
That's what they did in basketball too. Bo Lyons came from.
So why is this guy who's like Dick Bennett, the best coach ever just
maybe he likes it there
bobbing around in Whitewater?
Maybe they're maybe they're taking care of him.
Brad writes in.
It's
he
a
says
scandal. He's being paid more than the Wisconsin
some
coach.
Some guys just like the level and they like the purity of being able to just coach and not having to worry about the money and all that crap.
And also like
but there's crap everywhere.
No, but
really.
I don't think there.
You had crap at the Division III level that you played at.
Yes.
Yeah, guys taking money and
no, not
in hotels.
That's what we're talking about.
Peeing in hotels, and there were some other scandals involving criminal issues.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
as a coach.
Yeah, as a coach,
you have to put up with
the. I mean, if you're coaching anything, there's a chance that your kids are going to do something wrong.
Right.
But I'm saying you don't have to worry about like boosters giving kids money and. Circumventing rules. NCAA rules and stuff
or
like
rules
that.
In general.
Or like traveling, your entire offseason to recruit. I'm sure they don't do it as much as they do at the Division
I. I mean, if you coach like a high school baseball team, your kids can do something wrong. You know, there's no escaping that. You know?
I just think it's a little weird that he's dominated
that
level.
It is weird. It is different. But some like Tim Murphy at Harvard's been there for about 15, 16 years. Yeah. He wins the Ivy League every year.
Well, when Pete Carril was the basketball coach at Princeton, he didn't leave. Well, he liked it there.
What's the difference? It's a lower level.
Like at Harvard, you can actually go to the NCAA tournament.
No, you can't.
You can't.
They don't go to the playoffs. The Ivy League is like your academic conference. They don't
football,
believe in football.
Basketball. You're talking about football.
No, Tim Murphy in football.
Oh,
he's won the Ivy League 15 years in a row.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or like 13 out of 15 years.
But at least
years,
at Harvard, too.
Like
you know, free education. Maybe he's got kids. I'd be doing Wisconsin Whitewater. No
offense
to the Whitewater.
I mean, I have no idea what kind of education that
not
is.
Not even sure he went there. Brad says
he wasn't talking about Whitewater. He was talking about something else.
PFW is better than 98.5, and 98.5 is better than EEI.
I would agree all around.
So
I wouldn't.
Andy wouldn't. Yeah, he has to back up.
Is much better.
He has to back up his employer.
I mean, all 98.5 does is ride the Patriots' ratings to their success. That's really
and
the root of their success. And Perillo, yes, and Perillo.
The highest rating.
All right, John's here getting ready for the playbook.
I do say you give them the best bang for their buck of anybody on that station.
That is correct.
Who? Which station?
Paul. Me. Well, he works for free, right?
Right.
You work for free?
Practically.
You cheapened it for all of us.
You're being scolded.
I'm being scolded by Mr. Radio.
Just think of that. He defended Kirk Minahan, but he's scolding you.
Yeah. Says a lot.
Makes sense, right?
Paul works for Diet Pepsi.
Evidently, I've
worked for Diet Pepsi's.
Yeah. Andy, I've
Hired.
Never done a show with John Rook anywhere.
Is that true? You legends of broadcasting have never
somewhere
crossed
we've
paths?
Done before.
Other than in this studio, no.
I think we have before somewhere. Yeah, years ago.
We may have
on
done
EI
one of those
Sunday
yeah, mornings.
I think you guys did a rodeo together, right?
I don't even know what that means.
A rodeo?
I don't get you. You're like Toucher and Rich. I don't get your sense of humor.
Wow, that's a... Says
well, I've told them that, and
anger,
then they stop
anger
calling.
Issues. Okay. Then they stop calling.
Yeah, I guess so.
Strangely, they stop calling.
It's weird.
Really? What a blow the payday, Andy.
No, that I wouldn't have said it if they were paying me.
Oh,
you're supposed to then picture Paul and John in a booth announcing a rodeo. That's funny.
It doesn't make any sense.
And that's funny.
That's like Dumb and Dumber funny. Like, it's so stupid, I guess, yes.
Right.
But you don't like Dumb and Dumber humor.
It's one of those Family Guy cutaways.
You don't like Dumb and Dumber humor?
No, I don't.
Exactly. That was Dumb and Dumber humor right there. It's so stupid, I guess, you're left only
to
laugh. Yeah,
I'm not as big a Dumb and Dumber fan as most, but that's the epitome of your humor.
That's a Family Guy cutaway humor. Because now we set up the scene where you guys are doing a rodeo.
You're right. Visually, you're right. If you had shown me them in a booth doing a rodeo, and there'd be a joke about Paul can't talk about it because it only lasts 8 seconds and he's too long.
All these horses stink. They all stink.
Right. These bulls aren't like they used to.
Boy, that really took an ugly turn, didn't it?
The clowns are ruining it.
But it's kind of like a headline.
I know. There's a lot of quality teams that lose at home to Miami and Buffalo.
So now we riff on it.
I know.
Okay, I see what you did.
Okay. Hey, John.
Hey, John. Hey, Fred.
Now, that was funny.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. Yeah. It was like an off week.
Did you watch football?
Totally.
Yeah?
Totally. Absolutely. Got a chance to catch up on quite a bit. Absolutely. Yeah.
What do you think of Manning and his 509?
I don't.
No. 510.
You don't think about it?
Well, that was the big one.
You know, congrats to him.
Yeah.
That's all. I don't really have, I mean, you know.
Wow. The hate in this room just...
No.
The hate
just,
in New England is really astounding.
I don't think there's any hate involved at all.
I do.
Well, not on my part, anyway. If there's other hate out there in New England amongst Patriots fans, then okay, that's fine. But I don't hate the guy. He's a magnificent quarterback. He's meant a lot to the game. He has won championships.
But I think more impressive is his record for interception in clutch games. So
true.
I think that's a bet.
He's still going to go down as one of the greatest. There's no
interception in clutch games.
Yeah.
I mean,
rolls right off the tongue.
Hard
doesn't
to,
it really spins
hard
a phrase.
To deny that. Hard to deny that.
Now that's funny.
Yeah, but you're laughing at him, not with him. The man can't speak.
I believe he just had a stroke.
Okay.
All right. So what's up on the playbook today?
Nitpick Tuesday. Yep. Hashtag Nitpick Tuesday.
Right. Squeeze the running
trending?
Game and
we're
run defense.
A running game, a little run defense in there.
You're really going to have to stretch. You're
Eric
really
Friends
stretch
will be
it.
Around in hour number two of the program.
Okay. All right, good.
And also we will continue to look at trade possibilities.
Who you got?
One week, almost, we'll take this program to the hour, to the minute, for the trade deadline a week from today.
Yep. You got any, what do you got?
You know, I've got several possibilities that are out there. I'm intrigued by Vincent Jackson.
Me too.
But I realize that they have needs in other areas. So, frankly, my big guy right now, I'd love to see them go after and get Ndamukong Suh.
Wow, that's a big
one. That would be a big one.
That would be an example of a guy I would agree with the emailers and callers. Why would the 5-2 Lions want to trade him when he's having a terrific season?
Just money. You're not going to re-sign
it's
him.
It's strictly money, and they're not going to re-sign
but your
him.
Fans would revolt.
But at this point, what's
they
the
might.
Money?
They might. But what about,
you have half a season left on whatever
it also depends on what you'd have to give up to get him.
Somebody emailed in. I didn't read it, so I don't want to take credit for it. Pat Sims from the Raiders, defensive tackle.
Fat Pat Sims.
That would also probably make sense.
Well, LeGarrette Blount is one we've thrown out there. He seems to be unhappy in Pittsburgh. We need a running back.
We talked about that last week.
Boom.
I would agree.
I don't think
that would actually work.
Right, Sixth round pick.
You guys have to go to the locker room, and then we've got to tape the show, so we got to get going. John, have a good show.
See ya.
Fantasies at 4, so get ready for that.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.